Because I definitely picked up a few guys.
Welcome to this special episode of the Negative World Podcast. We are recording this on Saturday, June 18th, and this is our special E3 episode. So I'm the host, Guillaume, and with me today I have...
I'm Triforce Pun, also known as, my real name, Matthew Toronto, the creator of the webcomic Brawl in the Family.
And Carlos Rox, also known as Carlos.
On the Negative World boards, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thanks for being here, guys.
Yeah, no problem.
My pleasure.
All right. So this episode is special, as I said, because it's all about E3, and it's special because we actually have two people here who have been to E3. If you follow this podcast regularly, you know that I went. So I went, and that's why I'm better than you. And I think we're going to go with Matt, right, on this one?
Yeah, that's fine. Matt? That'll work.
All right. So, yeah, you two went, right?
That's right. And we met up, and we played Fortune Street, and we both got our butts kicked by my friend.
Indeed. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was cool finally meeting you.
Yeah, and, we were not the only Negative World Forum members to be there. Gripter was also there. And unfortunately, he can't be with us tonight because he's got stuff to do on Saturday nights. So,
he's too cool for us.
Yeah, I guess so. But someone else here is not too cool to hang out here. Carlos, so you didn't go to E3.
I didn't go, but I went in spirit. And I was F5-ing like crazy for like 4 days straight. So I was sort of there.
Yeah, gorging yourself on E3 news, as we said on the board.
Yeah, that's the way to do it if you can't go.
Yeah, and, Christmas on crack.
And it's a good thing to have you here, too, because I don't know about you, Matt, but I haven't had time to see, to catch up with all the news that came out of E3 yet. And it's pretty crazy. Like, when you're there, I don't know, you get to experience a lot, but there's a lot of stuff that you have no idea is going on.
It's just kind of a surge of information, and, a lot of it's released online or behind scenes, in meeting rooms and stuff, so unless you have access to the internet while you're there, you're liable to miss a lot of things, even when you're going to the show.
Yeah, and I think I learned a couple of things by going to E3 for the first time like this, and one of them is that best of awards for E3 are pretty much a sham, because there's absolutely no way that anyone could see everything that there is to see on the show floor. It's insane. There's so many games. And even if, regular journalists have access to, most of the new game announcements beforehand, and they're invited by the companies to, to write up their impressions before E3 so that they can post them, in a timely manner, there's no way that, a human being possibly, absorb all of this, this information and, much less evaluate it or judge it. So
There's really just a ton of stuff there, and I spent almost the entirety of the 3 days I was there pretty much floating around the Nintendo booth, and I saw a few other things, but there wasn't nearly enough time to see it all, so you kind of have to pick and choose.
Yeah, I too spent perhaps a day and a half at the Nintendo booth. I tried to go outside a bit because I'm also interested in what the other consoles have, but there's also, there were a ton of games also that were for Wii or DS that had only a presence outside of Nintendo's booth.
Yeah, that's true.
So you had to look for it a bit, but I don't know about you, but I found the DS stuff to be really hard to find usually. Or the Wii was even harder. You really had to go in the back of the big publisher's booths and, you know, in a bunch of cobwebs, you would find, like, a TV and a Wii.
Yeah, like
you could try
CRT TV and it's covered in dust.
Yeah, and absolutely connected.
Yeah, the only Wii game I can remember seeing outside of Nintendo's booth, I definitely saw Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games and at Sega's booth. They had kind of a nice little setup for that, but I'm trying to remember what else, and I can't really... they had Rune Factory, but I think that was the PlayStation 3 version at Natsume, so...
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. There were hardly any Wii games outside of Nintendo's booth, and, you know, not a whole lot of DS games either.
I think I brought this up, but... I think we're going to keep this for later, and we're going to start with the, I don't know, we're going to discuss a bit like the Nintendo presentation.
Okay.
I guess, Carlos, that you watched this from home. What did you think?
I was a little disappointed in how they presented the Wii U. Like, obviously, I think Nintendo themselves have said they had problems effectively communicating how the Wii U will play and like its strengths and all that. But otherwise, I think it was a good show. I think some people were expecting too much, myself included. I was, like, the conductor of the hype train. And, like, I should have realized that this wasn't Wii U's full reveal. Maybe they're going to get another 3, maybe they're going to get another E3, maybe they're not. But I think it's pretty obvious now they're going to have some other showing, maybe Nintendo-specific, to show off the Wii U.
Well, yeah, and there's also, like, let's not forget that when they showed off the 3DS... They showed it off first at E3, and like it only had one E3, right? Before it was it came out.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the full reveal either. Like we didn't get a price, we didn't get really that many games. Like it was mostly like just as in the case of the Wii U, we saw like a slide with a whole bunch of company logos, and like this was Nintendo was like, oh well, this is the support that we're gonna get. And these are the games that we're going to get, and we saw, like, trailers, and, like, a lot of the games on the trailers that we've seen still aren't out yet. I mean, we still saw Metal Gear Solid at this E3, and it's not coming out for a little while still. So, yeah, I think this was to be expected. Like, they're showing off the controller first, and then the rest of the details will come later on.
Right, yeah. With the Wii, it if you remember, during the time it was called the Revolution when they first revealed it, it was basically, here's the console, and it's going to have a really new way to control games. And we didn't know right away, you know, what that would be. They basically announced it would play virtual console games. Iwata mentioned Earthbound specifically, which never came, thanks. But but basically, yeah, we learned a little bit about the Revolution there, and... That September, if I'm remembering right, they showed the controller for the first time. Then the next year, they was 2006, and that was kind of the big coming out party for the Wii. It had like Mario Galaxy and Metroid Prime 3, and Zelda was moved to the Wii. It had all these big games on it. So the Wii U's reveal was a little bit between that. Basically, we got to see basically more than what they first showed with the Wii. We got to see what it was all about, but they still didn't really show actual full software. So I think... And that's kind of what I expected, you know. I didn't really expect major games, but it helps you get more hyped about the system when you, you know, you have something kind of solid to go off of and you say, oh, here's Mario, you know, and he can do this now, and that's really cool, and I'm looking forward to that. But, with the demos, you know, they were still really good, but in kind of a smaller way, like, oh, this is pretty neat, you know, this could be used in a cool way towards future games, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's my first experience playing demos like this for a non-release system, and I guess now I understand better, perhaps, where journalists came from when they, you know, they tried like the demo for Steel Diver last year, and you know, they were talking about its potential and everything. Like the impressions that they gave were really reserved. Like they talked about the 3D, they talked about their experience, but they were careful not to judge the experience too much, I guess, because they knew that they were just demos. And I don't know, like it's kind of hard to put yourself into that mindset. I mean, like, how do you judge the demo for like measure up? I mean, like, is that going to be in a full game? Like, for those who don't know, like the demo for Measure Up was just like people taking turns trying to draw a line of the length that the game asks you to draw. You know, like it asked you to draw a line of like 10 inches, and like you had to do a squiggle that was exactly 10 inches long, and the second player had to do the same thing, and then it compared the results and, you know, scored you on that. That is actually the most impressive use of the tech. I don't know. Like, it just shows you the possibilities, and you have to imagine for yourself, what, you know, how that's going to be turned into games.
Yeah, I think in the case of Measure Up, it's kind of like a way to show you, okay, this is how Brain Age would work with the Wii U, basically, like Big Brain Academy, those kind of games where, you know, you have to kind of think about something and draw it.
Yeah, I could see that maybe as a smaller, like, app-style game, because I have some games on my iPhone which are pretty much the same thing. It's like draw distances and cut pieces out of blocks and all that kind of stuff. So maybe they're trying to tap into that market too.
Mm. Yeah. So are we shifting over to the Wii U, or are we still in the conference?
Yeah, I am absolutely a terrible host. We should, yeah.
There's no problem to talk about either.
we can talk about the conference a little bit more, I guess. I guess I would want to know what you think of the almost complete absence of Wii games.
Well, this is weird to me, because I'm going to talk a little more in detail about this later, but Kirby Wii is, I think, a pretty major Wii game coming out this year. And last year, Nintendo was like, they had this really popular conference because they're like, boom, Metroid, boom, Donkey Kong, boom, Kirby, boom, 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 here's Skyward Sword. You know, it started just throwing all these games at us. And for this conference, they could have done that with a few games that they didn't decide. They decided not to showcase for whatever reason. I mean, it was a nice conference. It didn't drag on or anything. You know, it was like an hour and a half, and it felt like it moved really quick, at least, you know, for me. But, it makes me wonder, you know, why not just have Reggie say, okay, we still have some other Wii games lined up this year. Here they are, you know, and shows like the new trailer of Kirby Wii, of which, you know, there is a new trailer of Kirby Wii. They're playing in the booth. Rhythm Heaven, another game like that, Fortune Street, Wii Motion, was it Wii Motion? No, not
Wii Play Motion.
Wii Play Motion, there we go, that's the title of the movie. You know, stuff like that. It's sort of peculiar that they didn't showcase Kirby Wii in particular for me, because I really enjoyed that game, and it looks to be about the same quality as something like Kirby's Epic Yarn, or even Donkey Kong Country Returns, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
But the rest of the conference I thought was really nice. I like the Zelda tribute in particular that they opened up with. It was a very cool thing to see for someone that like has lived with that series for 25 years.
I missed most of that. I couldn't get in the conference until the last minute because I didn't have any a pass to get in, and we asked like one of the nice ladies outside, like, "Oh, can we get in?" And she was like, "Yeah, you can try it later when most everyone has gotten in." And we did manage at the end, but I missed the whole Zelda medley, I guess.
Yeah, they're pretty lenient about that, I noticed. I kind of went up to the nicest looking one, and she asked me if I was in the media, and I said, "Well, I have a website," and that was enough for her. She gave me a pass right then and there, so.
Huh. Nice.
But yeah, overall, I enjoyed the conference.
Well, one of the things I found curious was that Nintendo sort of gave me the opposite of what I personally wanted to see, was I wanted to see more third party for the 3DS, and I wanted to see first party for the Wii U, but it was the exact opposite. I wasn't expecting first party for 3DS and no first party for Wii U, because everybody wants to see Metroid and Zelda and Mario on the Wii U in HD.
Right.
But they gave us a reel of Darksiders and Ninja Gaiden instead.
Yeah, not just that, but Reggie says something like, "We can show you one title right now." And it ends up being, you know, I was like, "Oh my gosh, is it Pokemon? Is it Mario? It's Lego Star Wars." No, Lego, what was it? Lego something.
Lego
you know, Cities.
Yeah, it's like a sandbox Lego game, which is completely out of left field.
I thought that was a sick joke by Reggie to show it in the faces of people that wanted GTA on the Wii U. GTA 5 rumors.
Like, the reception to that was just like, it was a wet thud. Like, almost literally, like, you could hear it. Like, everyone in the audience just, huh?
Yeah. Also, so when exactly did you get into the conference, Guillaume?
Well, right at the end of the medley. But then I had to try to find a place inside the conference hall or whatever. And like the only seats available were behind the console, where like the people in charge of the lighting or the cameras or everything yeah. are. So they were blocking the view, and basically you had to watch the conference on their monitors. and then more seats opened up higher. So Gripter and I just rushed and upstairs, and then we could get a good view, and that was pretty amazing. Hmm. But yeah, like as for my thoughts about the conference, I definitely wanted more Wii. I can understand why they wanted to focus on their new thing, like the Wii U and the 3DS. At the same time, though, like yeah, sure, you don't want to send mixed messages, and you want to focus on what's ahead, but the Wii U is not this year. Yeah. So, like, where's the harm in just, like, listing a couple of games for the Wii? And a lot of journalists seem to treat Xenoblade and The Last Story as if, like, there was still a pretty big chance that they would get announced soon. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't understand the idea of not announcing them now or keeping them off your release list. It makes absolutely no sense to me.
Have those actually been confirmed yet for the U.S. release?
No, they haven't. But a lot of journalists say, well, we're not giving up hope. And they've got like more experience than me, I guess, with Nintendo's weird policies or weird... behavior, so I don't know. I think I'm going to choose to trust them. But no, nothing is confirmed. So
it's confirmed for Europe, though, right? And
yeah,
Australia,
they're localized. Or... Yeah, at worst, I guess people can hack their Wiis and try to import.
Nintendo is weird, man.
They are. And, like, of course, the only really... The one new 3DS game that was announced was Luigi's Mansion 2. Did you guys see that coming at all?
No, that completely kind unexpected.
Of blindsided me. Yeah, I remember for a few years, you know, people were just kind of talking like, "Oh, I want to see a Luigi's Mansion sequel on the DS," which is kind of funny, you know, because the game wasn't particularly popular. I mean, it's kind of, I guess, it's got a little bit of a cult status to it. And I enjoyed it well enough, but yeah, that was a nice surprise seeing it and you know, seeing it as a sequel and not just. You know, a port or a remake, basically.
Yeah, I was extremely surprised that it's a sequel, because, like, I guess we should have seen it coming, because, like, in every 3DS Iwata Asks article, like, they always mentioned it. They always mentioned that that was the game that they toyed with the 3D with, you know? Like, they had working demos. Huh. And I always... You know, at best, I thought that meant that we would get a remake, because after all, like, we're getting 3DS remakes of Ocarina of Time and Star Fox, and I thought, well, like, maybe they're going to port Luigi's Mansion as well. So a sequel came out of nowhere for me.
Well, didn't Miyamoto also give vague hints about he wanted to do another Ghost game or something sometime soon? I guess that's what he was talking about.
Oh, wow. I'm not sure I know what you're referring to.
I believe
that's interesting.
You did.
That's quite possible. So, and I think that we learned that it's, what's their name? Not Monster Games. Is it Monster Games?
Oh, yeah. It's Next Level Games.
Next Level Games, yeah. The
ones who made Punch-Out, right?
Yeah, Punch-Out. One of the best indie games.
And they're in Vancouver, I think.
Ooh, so I can sneak in and get some footage for you guys.
Absolutely. Do it.
Yeah, Next Level Games, Nintendo really needs to, like, you know, try to get them, I don't know, secure them as a second party or something, because after Strikers and Strikers Charged and Punch-Out, they just sort of made some, like, licensed games that didn't turn out so well, but they did a really good job with Nintendo's series. They kind of give it a feel of its own. Like, Punch-Out has a lot of personality, and so does Strikers, and I'm pretty eager to play Luigi's Mansion 2, you know, or play more of it, I guess, because they're behind it. I think they... have a lot of charm to what they do.
All right, well, I guess that we're going to move on to our impressions of the Wii U.
Okay.
Yeah, so what did you think, Triforce? Well, Matt, of your hands-on experience.
So overall, the Wii U, I think it doesn't quite ring with me the same way that the Wii did, basically, where it's like, I feel like there's a ton of potential, like it can revolutionize gaming. But at the same time, it feels something like... I don't know, maybe like the three, like the original DS, where it's like, oh, okay, I can see this new, format, you know, allowing for a lot of creative gameplay. And at first I wasn't really sure exactly how that would be different from what we already do with the DS, you know, with the two screens. But once I played stuff like the pirate demo where you're seeing it through the viewpoint on one screen and you're moving it around like it's a little window, you know, and, you know, on the TV screen, you have a fixed viewpoint. And I think that's really cool where you have that element of, it's basically like, almost like virtual reality, you know? Except, you know, you're holding it. But you can move around and you can see through it. And it's the same thing with the garden demo. And that actually gave it a really cool feel, like, the gyroscope mixed with the separate screen. And I think that sort of thing can be used really creatively in terms of gameplay because the pirate demo was a lot of fun, and there were a couple other demos that basically used it like a second screen, like if you were playing on multiple TVs or computer screens, like Battle Me and Chase Me. And that was a lot of fun too, but those in particular, I didn't really feel exactly like this couldn't be done anywhere else. You know, it could still be done on multiple screens with multiple systems. But I think the number of features included in the system kind of gives you a lot of options and different things to do, you know, when you combine things like the separate screen plus the motion control, you know, lets you do cool things like look through it and move it. And I think it all adds up to be something really creative. There was nothing that really blew me away entirely, but I'm pretty optimistic about it. The only thing I'm a little worried about basically is how they said there's only one per console, which makes me think, you know, a lot of people will associate multiplayer gaming for the Wii U with all those Wiimote controllers again. And, you know, it's good to differentiate yourself from your past systems at least a little bit.
I don't know if I was being naive, but, you know, like that reel of examples, like that Wii U reel that they showed at the conference, yeah. I pretty much thought that was what the demos would be. Like when they said, like, okay, so now you're going to get to play it. I thought, okay, cool. So I just saw in the reel like a woman, like, putting like the controller on the floor, and you know, she was in a golf game, and so like we saw on the screen on the controller like the golf ball in the sand trap, and I thought basically that was what I was going to be playing, and it turned out completely different.
Well, it was sort of like the it reminded me of the Wii hypothetical demo reel when they first showed the Wii controller. And they had like someone, you didn't see the screen, but you saw people using it in different ways. It was similar to that, but yeah, I kind of thought that too. I kind of thought those would be among the demos we were playing, but they were sort of similar to that. I mean, they had like a Mario Brothers, Mii game, I guess. And maybe a couple others in the demo reel. I don't remember exactly.
All right. I guess I should say that for the handful of people who are not from Negative World and who are listening to this, and for the couple of people that I know don't really follow video games at all except for this podcast, if you don't know what we're talking about, if you want to see the Wii U for yourself and everything, I did write up impressions on Negative World, and please, please go read them because that's going to make me feel better. I posted like Wii U impressions. Just go on negativeworld.org and look for them. They should still be on the first page, and if not, they shouldn't be too far. I posted impressions for all the demos I played. I think that the one that impressed me the most, there were two of them. There was Shield Pose, which was the pirate game that you mentioned, where basically on the TV screen, you see like this pirate ship, and the pirate is telling you like, okay, go look for the other two ships. And you look at the TV screen, and there's only one. So you take the controller in front of you, and you shift it to the left, and outside of the range of the TV screen, you see a second ship. And then you shift it to the right, and you see a third ship. And then you look up over the TV screen, and there's the moon. And so that's just like kind of a calibration or something, or it's like it's showing you, hey, look, like there's stuff going on outside of your TV that you have to pay attention to. And from then on, like it becomes like this kind of rhythm game where, you know, it warns you that there's going to be arrows coming from above, left or right or center, and you have to block them by positioning the Wii tablet where the arrows are coming from. So there was that, and there was the garden Japanese garden demo, which was entirely a graphical showcase. But again, like you had like on the TV screen, like there was like a series of images that didn't really seem to do much except show the graphics. But on the screen on the controller, you can move it around, and yeah, it was absolutely like virtual reality. I don't know, like I don't want to sound like a PR guy, but it did seem like a window inside the video game. And I don't know, I find that really, really appealing. I definitely think that developers should try to focus on that, because that is something I've never seen before. It's the fact that the game's world is not confined to what you see on your TV. I think that's huge.
Yeah, I believe that would be the big hook of the Wii U actually, because that's something nobody's ever really done before. So if you want to get the new players have a new experience, you got to give them something they haven't seen before, and I think that's what the Wii U is providing with the screen.
And I think that every Nintendo fan, when seeing that application, probably thought like, okay, so Nintendo needs to make another Metroid Prime game. It just makes too much sense because of the way that they've played around with different visors, and like you can switch to X-rays and everything. Now you can directly do that with the TV screen. Not the TV screen, but I mean the controller screen.
Yeah, that's a good point.
One of the things that worries me though is that one of the selling points of the Wii U is that you can play with the TV off. But obviously some games will require both screens to have a full experience. So if you, let's say you had a Metroid Prime and the visors are confined to the tablet screen, you'd need the TV at all times. So that would kill the portability the system offers.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, there's definitely going to be two types of games. Yeah, let's switch to another demo that we played, the New Super Mario Bros. Me, which was basically just New Super Mario Bros. Wii, except slightly higher graphical quality. Like, it was in HD and pretty much the same art style. That game played exactly like it does on the Wii, and there was absolutely no change, basically. So I didn't play that particular game on the Wii U controller. I played it with the Wiimote and Nunchuck. But yeah, I think that the only demonstration of the Wii U's capabilities there was just the HD, and also the fact that you can see the exact same thing that you could see on the TV, you could see it on the controller.
I was wondering if you guys noticed any lag, actually, because I saw some videos and I thought I saw the slightest bit of lag between the screen and the TV.
I used the screen for New Super Mario Bros. Me, and a lot of people are thinking this is going to become an actual game, which I could see that happening. It's got five levels, and from like the two I played, they were different from anything in Mario Bros. Wii. But basically, I used the screen, and I'm trying to remember. I didn't detect any lag. I might be wrong because I'd only used it for one level, and I was looking at the screen in my hands the whole time. But from what I remember, it looked really sharp on the screen. The screen's resolution looked really nice. But I thought the controls felt pretty good for me. One thing I thought that was kind of interesting was that I tried to instinctively shake the controller to do that boop, that little thing that little spin Mario does, or whoever it was. That was a me, and it didn't work. So at first I thought, well, what the heck? I've got a disadvantage, right? And then I noticed they mapped that to a shoulder button for the Wii U, which makes me think there's not going to be as much waggle, there's that word, for the Wii U as it was for the Wii. Because I mean, obviously it's a much bigger device, and people aren't going to be jostling it as much as they are, moving it like you would a 3DS or something.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah.
I didn't notice. Well, yeah, I didn't really look at the screen at the controller when we were playing that game, so I guess I can't
Yeah.
speak to any lag. But perhaps like it was just the effect of watching like the New Super Mario Bros. Wii is a hard game to like when you're watching it. It looks like a mess because there's always like this little pause when someone dies or when someone grabs a power up. That's way more distracting than when you're actually playing it. So I don't know. Maybe that was what it was.
One thing I thought was kind of cool was that when I had the screen, I played it twice. I played it with the Wiimote and I played it with the screen. When I had the screen, I never looked at the TV. Like, I enjoyed looking at the screen more than just looking at the TV because it felt kind of more, I don't know, it felt like more personal, I guess. Even though the TV screen was showing the exact same thing. I don't know, I was holding the controller in my hands and I like looking at my own screen. It's mine. All right, so let's move on to, how about Chase Me?
Yeah, sure. That was fun.
This was interesting because it's basically like Battle Me, which I guess we'll talk about in a minute. It's basically the guys with the Wiimote against the guy with the Wii U controller. So it's a five-player game, which is kind of cool.
Yep. And the screen was divided in four on the TV screen, and like everyone could see their point of view on there, except for the guy playing with the controller, the Wii U controller.
Right.
And he had his own view. Like he could see like the same behind the shoulder view that everyone could see of their characters. But in addition to that, like you had the map right next to it and you could see where everyone else was on the map.
Yeah. Basically you're running around this, this sort of block fortish. It feels a little bit like a battle level from like Super Mario Kart.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's like this big symmetrical arena and it's got a bunch of walls and they're color coded. Each quadrant is color coded. So you have a little bit of an idea where the player is, when they see him, they could say, "Oh, he's in green. Everybody run towards green." So everyone sort of runs that way. The sole player has an overhead map and a slightly better view of his character. It's kind of a top-down shot, like in Zelda 1.
So, right.
So he can be a little more evasive. And I saw a Starman pop up in the middle that he grabbed at one point. But basically, everyone's trying to catch that player before the time runs out. And if someone does, then the team wins. And if he evades him for the full, you know, 2-3 minutes, then the sole player wins.
Yeah, in a way, it was kind of like Pac-Man Versus.
That, yeah, definitely.
Everyone is chasing this one person who has a view of the whole field, and everyone else just has this very limited view and has to find it in the labyrinth.
Right, to expand on that even more, like I think that the Wii U as a whole is, in a way, kind of the evolution of that connectivity idea.
Oh, definitely.
A lot of things kind of felt like reminiscent of that style of gameplay.
So yeah, that was fun. And I guess, like, mm-hmm. as you said earlier, it was perhaps like nothing that you can do online, but on this, you know, for same couch multiplayer, that's definitely something that you can't really do otherwise.
That is true.
Sounds to me like a Mario Party minigame right there.
Yeah, it's got the feel of like, yeah, like kind of like a Mario Party minigame, maybe expanded just slightly. But, I mean, I don't think it could be the kind of game that you'd package for $50. But as like a multiplayer mode and, I don't know, like one of the games in a Wii Motion, there I go again, a Wii Play game, mm-hmm. you know, it would be a lot of fun. Same with Chase.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me to see Chase Me and Battle Me and perhaps like a bunch of other games bundled together on like a Wii Party 2 game.
Oh yeah.
Something like that. But yeah, Battle Me is another demo that showcased like this same kind of how do you call that, asymmetrical multiplayer?
Yeah, where, like, I guess so. It's
So that one was like three players and you had like two players watching the action on the screen and they were controlling characters that are on foot and like Miis that were wearing Samus's power suit.
Yeah, it was definitely Metroid themed and kind of, I think it was the only Metroid type game at the place. But yeah, Miis in Samus's power suit.
Yeah, and so like you could walk around like with the nunchuck and you could aim around with the pointer of the Wii Remote. Mm-hmm. And pressing C would turn you into a morph ball, which didn't really seem to have any advantages as far as I could see. Like, you didn't seem to go faster. You just were just smaller a bit. So, yeah, so, like, you could run around like that and try to shoot the enemy ship. And the ship is controlled by the Wii U controller.
Yep.
And so, like, you've got your own view on the screen, obviously. And that was a bit like trying to rub your tummy and pat your head at the same time. I don't know about you, Matt, but like it was not especially intuitive. Like you had to use like both of the side pads on the controller, the analog sticks.
Yeah, you use one stick to move the craft left and right, I believe, and another to move it in the altitude up and down, and you use the gyroscope to aim. So basically, it took me a little time to get used to it. I played as the ship twice, and the first time I lost, but the second time I won. So that was cool. I was very crafty. I started ducking behind buildings and things. The ship has more life, so it feels pretty balanced, at least once you get used to the controls.
It sounds like an odd choice. I wonder why they wouldn't just go with dual analog for a demo like that. That's what I assumed it was, and it's news to me that it controlled like this, actually.
Well, it uses both of them, but I think the difference is that you're not on foot. You're in a craft moving in three dimensions. So they kind of wanted you to get the tilt and the yaw and the other weird things like that. I ended up liking Battle Me kind of a lot. I kind of got the grasp of it after a little bit, and it was fun.
Did you guys have any preference over playing the ship or playing the characters or?
Well, both were fun. It's just I guess that when you're playing those characters, you should be able to work as a team.
Yeah.
And I guess when you don't really know the guy next to you, that really didn't work.
The characters use the pointer for aiming and the stick for moving, so it felt pretty fluid. I like the controls of that, but I think I enjoyed the ship more solely because you're using the Wii U controllers and itself, and that's always kind of a new experience and interesting to see.
I guess we're going to move on to the other demos. What's left? I don't have my window
Well,
here.
there was Zelda, which I kind of messed around with for a little bit, and the main thing I can say about that is it kind of surprised me that it was in real time, because I remember seeing it and I didn't
It
know.
looks CG, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks really good.
That's what I thought when I saw the conference. I was disappointed because I'm like, oh, they're showing pre-rendered stuff, the bane
It's
of
like
my existence.
Space World demo all over again.
Yeah.
But no,
But no,
it
they.
was in real time. You can move the stick and see the action from different angles and things. I mean, it wasn't particularly interactive, but it was a little bit interactive, and it was interactive enough to show that yes, the Wii can do this. And the strangest thing about that was that I thought the game looked better on the small screen than it did on the TV. The resolution was really nice. It's probably 740, 720, 7 something. The size
I don't have the specs.
I guess
Yeah.
it would hide some of the imperfections on the
Yeah,
small screen, right?
that's true.
Yeah, I guess the interactivity that was there, like you could change the camera angle, but they were predetermined. I think it was probably because you don't want like the to give control absolute control of the camera. Otherwise, like maybe
Right.
the
You
like
could,
players would see stuff that they're not supposed to see.
yeah, like through walls and things.
Did the demo have camera control through the analogs and the gyros, or is it just one or the other?
I think what it basically was you can press a button to shift the position, like where the camera is located. It would jump around. Those are the preset conditions. But once it was there, you could use the analog stick to kind of tilt it a little bit. If you played like Pilot Wings Resort on the title screen, you can kind of use the stick to look around a little bit. It was pretty much like that. I don't think the gyroscope looked around the room in Zelda. It did for the Japanese Garden, but I don't think it did for the Zelda demo.
I personally didn't touch the Zelda demo. Every time I looked at it, I was like, graphics, graphics, I want to play something. And now I regret it because I didn't know it was interactive at all. Like I was looking over at the people checking it out, and like they always never really did seem to be doing much of anything with the controller. So I was like, I can pass.
Well, I mean, it wasn't exactly like a fun demo or anything, but I wanted to make it a point after standing in line for 3 hours to try all the demos, but I ended up not trying the Ghost Recon one because I don't know, whatever. But
Me neither.
I did try the rest. So I think that's, I guess that's all of them. Did we miss any?
Yeah, I didn't check out the Zelda demo, and I didn't check the Ghost Recon demo. Like the guy at the station showed like the gear customization screen for 5 minutes to the guy in front of me, and I was like,
Wow.
you
Yeah.
know, enough with that noise. I don't need this. But yeah, so that wraps it up, I guess. Final impressions on how the controller feels, or what
Well,
did you think?
to me it feels a bit like it's comfortable. It's kind of comfortable in the way a Wiimote is, where it's not like, for me, the GameCube controller is extremely ergonomic. And the Wiimote controller feels really good, but it's a little more angular, you know, for the functionality. Mm-hmm. And I think the Wii U controller is kind of similar to that sort of feel, where it's really nice. It feels more comfortable than holding, like, a DS Lite or something. But it's not quite, it doesn't quite melt into your hands like the WaveBird does. But I think a lot of people are going to be happy with it. The sticks feel really nice. The D-pad feels really nice, which is good because I'm like getting bummed out about my 3DS D-pad at this point. But the shoulder buttons also feel nice. They kind of come out on a lip, like how the Wiimote sort of curves outward. There's two on each side, and overall, I think they made sure to put a good amount of buttons on there and two sticks, so everyone should be happy.
Yeah, I hope so. I keep saying, like, oh, it looks, you know, it is more comfortable than it looks. But mm-hmm. then again, like, I didn't play New Super Mario Bros. Wii on that thing, so I didn't really use the buttons. And I'm kind of wondering about their placement, you know? Like, sure, like, it felt good when I had, like, the thumbs on the slide pads, but I'm not too sure about the buttons. And also, I was quite surprised that the Z triggers beneath, under the controller, were not triggers, actually. They were buttons.
What do you mean by that exactly?
Well, like there were, like, four shoulder buttons, right? Like, there were two at the top, and there were two, you know, kind of under the
right. There controller. There are a pair of bigger ones, from what I remember.
Yeah, but they're buttons. Like, they're on or off. They're not like the triggers on the GameCube controller.
Oh, they're not analog control. You mean where there's like sensitivity?
Right. Yeah, yeah. They're not like Xbox or PS3 or GameCube shoulder buttons.
So they're more like the Wii's B button and Z button.
Yeah.
That's true.
So
yeah,
that surprises me because I would think that you know if Nintendo really wants the cross console ports, they would do well to have. The same control options?
Yeah, that might be a good idea. I didn't even think of that.
I agree. Like, I don't particularly care for the analog click either, but I'm sure a lot of people are comfortable with it, and I'm thinking, like, as you just said, I think they should match everything that the competition has just to be on the safe side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we can count on also, like, well, probably doesn't matter, but you know how the analog sticks on the other consoles, controllers click? For like their kind of a third
third
button. Like probably the Wii U can get by having a touchscreen instead of that.
Oh, right. So,
like I don't know, perhaps like Nintendo should consider adding a clicky slide pad or something.
Yeah, what caught me off guard when I held it was that it used basically the slide pad from the 3DS. It's different feeling. It feels kind of like a cross between that and the analog stick. And it was comfortable feeling, but it was different. Like it kind of made me wonder why they decided to go with a slide pad type object. Do you think maybe slide pads are more durable than analog sticks? You know, because I mean, if you're gonna replace the Wii U controller, it's gonna be expensive. Same with the 3DS, you know.
I really have no idea what they're thinking with that. Perhaps. I wish I remembered more how the controller felt in our hands, but. Was it thicker than normal controller? Because that might explain it. Maybe they thought, like, oh, it's going to be harder to hold if the sticks are sticking out too much.
So
we should go with slide pads instead.
Maybe.
I guess we're going to move on to the Wii games on the show floor. and, of course, Zelda. That made me a believer. I got to say, that demo, that was pretty good. Well, there were three of them, right? There were... Like, there was a... first, there was, like, the flying demo.
Yeah, the
bird handled. That was fun, but in my case, it went on for a little bit too long. Maybe I was doing it wrong, but I thought... I'm getting pretty used to these kind of mini-games where, like, you're flying and you're supposed to tilt the Wiimote to control where you're flying. And you're trying to catch something like that. We've been doing that in like Wii Sports Resort and in the Galaxy and everything. So, I did my best to aim for where the freaking bird was going to be and not where he was. So, you know, I thought, oh, I'm going to be done like in 30 seconds, but it went on, and I was just like, I was starting to sweat, you know, like, oh, I'm going to lose all my time on this stupid minigame, and I really want to be playing the dungeon.
Was this the first, was that the first demo you did for Zelda?
Yeah, you know, it was the one at the top.
yeah, that's true. Yeah, I can see how that would affect your experience if you're, you know, if you're like, okay, I really want to control Link on foot now.
But, yeah, it went on for, I don't know, it must have been 4 or 5 minutes, and it was fun, but perhaps not the best way. Perhaps not the best demo, I thought.
Yeah.
But you found that fun? Like, were you better than me at this?
What happened with me was I started in the dungeon demo, and that, at first, I think I had kind of a similar experience as you with the first demo, kind of, like, I guess catching me off guard, which it shouldn't because it's dungeon stuff, but, well, I don't want to, you know, talk about the entire thing just yet, but basically...
go ahead. I mean, let's talk about the dungeon demo.
All right, well, I jumped right into the dungeon demo, and I think the first thing I noticed was that Skyward Sword controls significantly differently than what I'm used to for 3D Zelda, which I was not expecting, honestly, because it, you know, it looks sort of like Twilight Princess, and I guess Wind Waker had an impressionistic baby, and, you know, that's cool, but I didn't expect, you know, some changes for the items and such. Basically, I think my Wiimote was not calibrated correctly because I was fighting some Skulltula, and he was kicking my butt. Like, I had like 8 hearts, and he was just tearing me apart. I could not kill the thing. I ran away from it and started fighting a Bokoblin, and he was just blocking all my shots, and I tried to swing the Wiimote, you know, to hit his weak spot, you know, and Link would kind of go in the opposite direction, and it was kind of a mess for a little bit. So I brought out my bow, and the IR was kind of way off. So Link was like aiming at his foot, and, you know, I was just a terrible hero for that first dungeon, unfortunately. But
well, have you played Wii Sports Resort? Because like the bow wasn't using the IR; it was using the same like Wii Motion Plus.
Archery is actually my favorite sport in that game. Once I figured out what I was doing wrong, it's weird because you have one button for the items in the demo. At least you hold the B button, and a circle comes up so you can choose your item, and. Right. I would choose, like, the bow, for instance, and I would lock onto someone and expect to, like, I expect Link to pull out the bow and shoot him kind of automatically because he's locking onto him. But it doesn't really work that way in Skyward Sword. And so I got sent back to, like, the first-person view. So it was kind of something that it felt like I needed to relearn. I needed to relearn the controls for Zelda. But with that said, when I went back to it the next day and did the boss battle, which is pretty much just using the sword, I really felt like I learned how to use the sword really well, basically, which is good, because it felt really good by that point. It's like, okay, this is really starting to work. And this boss, what's his name, like Lord Girahim or something? He's that kind of Vati-looking guy that's, he's apparently very very flamboyant and ridiculous, like, for his boss battle. He's quite a presence. But, yeah, basically, he starts off just toying with you. You can swing your sword at him and he'll catch it and just kind of hold it. So you have to hold the sword and sort of wave it over on one side to where he looks at it and then slash him on the other side. And it ended up being a really creative boss battle because eventually he draws his own sword and he'll charge you and you've got to shake your nunchuck to kind of deflect him like Bald Bull style, you know, if you're thinking of like Punch Out. So it's got these little elements to the fight that are more than just, you know, wait till the boss opens his eye, hit him with an arrow, then slash, 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 and then repeat until he's dead. You know, it was different than that. It felt like there were a number of ways to tackle the boss, and there were several ways to find weak points and to get around him, and it was actually kind of hard. So it was a good challenge, and I ended up liking the boss battle a lot, and I had enough time, I think the second time I played, to do the boss battle and the bird flying portion, which ended up, I guess, I had a pretty good run that time because it only took me like a couple minutes to do the bird part, which was pretty fun. But and I met Zelda, and she looks cool. But the thing is about the birds, I kind of wish there is. It makes me a little worried because the one segment you have where you can fly on a bird is in sort of a cloud-like separate arena. It's kind of a minigame thing. It's not like you're soaring over the fields of Hyrule, you know, on this bird and whisking by all these trees and caverns and things. And that's what I really want to see from the game. If they're going to have flight, then, I mean, flying in the clouds is all right. You know, it's fine for, you know, if you're Pit. But for Link, like, I want to, if it's going to replace the opponent, I want to be able to, you know, shoot around really close to the ground. I think that'd be really cool. So I hope they incorporate something like that into the game.
Actually, I get the feeling that it's going to be a lot like Wind Waker, like the ocean Wind Waker. Like, you'll be heading to small islands kind of thing when you fly. Like,
yeah, like you'll go from, like, floating land chunk to floating land chunk. It's kind of like a yeah. Skies of Arcadia thing.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, I kind of hope that you're right, because the way I saw it, I thought it was just another thing like riding on like in Twilight Princess, like the when you duel against the boar thing, you know, like it's a once in a wild thing.
That's
or
right.
So yeah, I thought it was just gonna be like a mini game that you play twice, like once at the beginning of the game, and you know, a second time against like the end boss, and you've completely forgotten about it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but you know what? I mean, the trailers and things have so much emphasis on these birds. Like, they had these enormous models in Nintendo's booth of, you know, anyone that went there definitely saw them. But for those that don't know, there's these big. I guess they're made out of like plastic or something, very large sculptures of the birds with Link and Zelda on them looking at each other. And it was really cool looking, but it gave me the impression that they're really trying to emphasize these birds as well as in the trailer. So I'm hoping that there's a lot to that element of flight rather than just a couple mini games. But you never know, Nintendo's weird.
Yeah, it's hard to tell by just a demo.
Right, so Guillaume, what'd you think of Skyward Sword?
Well, as I said, it made a believer out of me, because I'm not really, I'm not the biggest Zelda fan by any stretch on Negative World. I've noticed that, like, people hold Ocarina of Time in a much higher regard than I do, because, like, back in the N64 days, I was playing on my computer instead, and I was playing Grim Fandango, and, you know, like, I was really impressed by it, but... you know, I played through it once, I don't know, like Zelda, basically the one Zelda that I played over and over again was Link's Awakening, and that's pretty much it. Oh. But yeah, like suddenly I'm way more interested in Skyward Sword, because of the combat, just because of the controls. Even if we end up like with the same, like find three items, you know, and then like something happens and all of a sudden like eight new dungeons open up, or, you know, often less. Like, even if it's the same structure, and even if, like, Ganon turns out to be the final boss, and, you know, even if it's kind of the same, some people would call it tired formula, I think that the combat was fresh enough. And what gets me is that last night, Jimmy Fallon demonstrated the game on his show.
Yeah, and, I heard about that.
He absolutely annihilated like one of the enemies by just flailing wildly, and I swear he just got lucky. That demo was hard.
Yeah, right. I could sense that Reggie was gonna say, "So the new Zelda, you have to attack strategically," but
and
no,
he didn't have time, because like somehow like Jimmy just like unleashed like two whirlwind sashes or whatever they're called in a row, like at just the right time. When like the boss was opened up. But I swear, like everyone I was, well, every time I was playing or everyone I was looking at playing, they were always chasing for heart pieces at that point, because they were just getting brutally murdered.
Was this against the Stalfos?
The Stalfos, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've heard that the game is harder, so like maybe that's why you both had trouble with the demo, and like everybody I've seen videos too, and everybody plays it seems to be scrouging for hearts when they're fighting the Stalfos. And that's one of the problems I heard Nintendo wants to address with the game, is that they want to raise the difficulty, so that could be
that
too.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Yeah, and like the combat was definitely, like you had to read your opponent, so that makes combat matter again in the Zelda game.
Yeah,
it makes it makes it matter in a different way than, I don't know, like Darksiders got a lot of praise last year for being kind of like a Zelda game, and like it added more God of War-like combat to it, and I don't like that. I wouldn't want Zelda to turn into that. I don't want to learn like these combos, these you know, like button combinations or whatever. I don't want to be wailing at an enemy for, you know, like 7-8 times, just to, you know, get him down. Like, but like the way that it's handled in Skyward Sword, like you have to read him, you have to attack at the right time, the right way. That's just perfect. You know, like potentially these encounters can be over really, really quick, but they're not going to be mindless. So, I was really, really, satisfied with that. Like I played the boss demo, like the Vadilite guy, and that worked like really, really well. I completely forgot that I could dash by pressing A. Like it's the first time that you can run in the Zelda game.
Yeah, good addition.
And that was kind of required in that fight, I thought, because like he would teleport away from you and then charge his attack, and you had to get to him before that. That was kind of brutal. But yeah, so that worked really well. And then I tried the dungeon demo, and I got calibrations errors. And nothing worked. Like it was insane. Like the freaking flying beetle would do nothing. That would, you know, like it was obviously broken. And you know, in Wii Sports Resort, like when that happens, you just like press down on the D-pad, and like it kind of corrects itself. I tried to do that on the demo, and that didn't work. Like she had to press the menu button and like resync the controller and everything, and that made me lose precious, precious minutes. So that was annoying. I didn't get too far in that demo. I completely forgot my Zelda instincts when I was playing that, because I couldn't really. I forgot to use the shield most of the time. I had a lot of trouble against what are they called? The Deku Babas? The plants?
Yeah, the plants. Yeah,
I ended up taking care of them with a bomb, but they were like everything was brutal in that demo, I thought.
It was tough. That Skulltula was ridiculous. I was just. I felt really incompetent, you know? And I mean, I've gotten to like Ganon without the sword in the first Zelda in both quests, and I cannot kill a Skulltula in Skyward Sword. Yeah, I think part of it, like you said, is adapting to the new controls, and also to there's like I think there was just some calibration issues with all the stuff going on in the booth, but yeah, I think the game overall definitely has a lot of promise, and I'm certainly going to get it day one. Plus, they got Yopoda doing the music, which we orchestrated finally.
From what I've seen of them trying to add more strategy into the game too, is that they added a stamina meter that affects your run, obviously, but also I believe when you block with your shield, there's also a meter, and like when you climb and push as well.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if you guys saw any of that.
I remember seeing the meter for the shield in one of the trailers. I don't remember seeing it at the demo, but I might have not been looking for it.
Yeah, there was definitely a meter when you're running. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The dash.
Yeah, it was like a little Pikmin-style pie chart thing.
Yeah, that thing looks like a lime to me. It keeps bugging me. I see a lime when I see it.
Like a lime cut down the middle.
Yeah.
All right, so with that lime, are we done with Skyward Sword talk? Can we move to Kirby?
Yeah, sure.
Kirby was phenomenal!
Let's try to make shorter impressions for the rest of the games, because otherwise this is going to be a long podcast. Gush out about Kirby. Go.
Okay, Kirby. For anyone like me who loves Superstar on the Super Nintendo, which is the greatest Kirby game, because when you get an ability, it kind of controls like Smash Brothers, like you can dash with the cutter, and you can throw the cutter, and you can jump down with the cutter, and get all these cutter abilities from one move. For people that have been waiting for a game like that, this is that game. Kirby Wii is awesome, because... you got four players, like in Kirby Superstar, and you do that kissing thing, like when you get food and your other guy doesn't have life, and Kirby like throws up in his mouth. They got that, which is awesome. Okay, you got King Dedede. You can play as him. You can play as Meta Knight, and you can play as that Waddle Dee with the bandana, and he's got a spear, which is cool because he's got a bunch of new moves too. So basically, it's a 2D game, and you run around in these levels, and they're really well designed. It's very cute, and you get these giant swords, and what else do you get? You get a sword. You get the cutter. There's a grass ability now, and I'm running out of things to say. There's beam, and there's bomb, and there's water, and we fought like three bosses, and the levels are really big, and it plays the music that goes do 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 do, and they all dance at the end. It's awesome.
You don't sound excited enough.
I don't sound excited enough. It's a good game. It's a good game.
Yeah,
it's a game of E3. my game of E3 is Kirby Wii, because I've been waiting so long for a game like this to finally come along. And it's awesome, it's great, and I think it's done by HAL. And I don't even know what they've been up to. Maybe they... I'm pretty sure it's the Kirby game that we saw for the GameCube, because everyone's stacking up and they're using abilities, and it's all like 2.5D and stuff. It's really good. It's really good, you guys.
Wow, I don't have really much to add. I didn't play as Kirby. I played as DDD. Very satisfying to swing that hammer. Plays kind of like in Smash Brothers, I guess, like all the moves that he has. Definitely the most important player on the screen is Kirby, because like he's the only one who, if he dies, you start over the level.
Yeah, everyone else can respawn.
And other than that, also, like, he was the only one able to trigger certain abilities. But, yeah, like, so, like, you've got three supporting characters, basically. But it was still very, very fun to play as them.
What about Prince Fluff?
Yeah, Prince Fluff, I think, is taking a break, but I want to see him in Smash Brothers. Which, by the way, I don't think we touched down on that being announced, but that was pretty big for me. But I hope to see Fluff in Smash Brothers using, like, his yarn moves and stuff, but I don't think he'll be in the new Kirby, though.
No, like, different company, I guess. Like, I'm sure that Goodfield doesn't retain the rights for Prince Fluff, but still, like, it's this game is not developed by Goodfield, so I'm guessing that... and it was probably started before Epic Yarn came out, or...
Yeah, maybe
So I wouldn't be surprised if, like, there was just, like, no... time, or there was no really will to put him in this game. You know, like probably HAL was like, well, he's not our character. Let's just stick with what we came up with.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of Epic Yarn, but I think some players wanted a more traditional Kirby game for the Wii, and this is definitely that game.
Yeah, tons of fun, super great party game. I'm sure it's going to be a great single player game as well. Tons of, like, there were cool ideas, like the whole, like, wall venting behind you, and, like, you could shoot stuff.
Yeah, yeah. They were, like, in hidden worlds, there would be black and white, you know, except for Kirby and crew, and there would be this big pink wall of something kind of slowly advancing towards you. You could make it kind of retreat a little bit by shooting stuff at it out of Kirby's mouth. For the most part, it's like one of those automatic scrolling kind of levels.
All right, so it looked great, played well, it was fun.
Multiple moves per ability, like beam, you could charge the beam, you could do the dash beam, and it was really good.
Cool. So, Rhythm Heaven. I thought, like, I don't know what it was about the displays everywhere at E3, but, like, a lot of them looked crummy. Like I saw Jaggies everywhere, but Rhythm Heaven looked... Rhythm Heaven looked really, really good. Like, it looked clean.
Yeah, it's definitely a clean-looking game.
Yeah, and I'm not sure exactly what there is to say about it, except that thank you for thinking about providing headphones. Yeah, thank you, Nintendo, for that. And other than that, like, yeah, it played great. No motion. You either pressed A or A and B at the same time.
Yeah.
And you really had to pay attention to the music to do well. You had to pay attention to the graphics, to what was going on screen. They try to throw you off in really, really inventive ways, I thought.
Yeah.
Like, there was the, like, one of the demos, like, you had, like, this Japanese samurai cutting down demons coming out of this portal. And as the game went on, like, you saw, like, I'm not sure how you call that, but, like, superimposed on the action, like, you would start seeing, like, Japanese characters, like, kind of scrolls telling a story. I assume it's, like, the story of this Japanese samurai. Mm-hmm. And, like, you could see, like, it told the story of how he met this little girl. And, like, I guess she got captured by the demons. I got no idea. Like, you could not pay attention to what was going on there, because you had to pay attention to what you were doing. But that was really, really fun. The music was great, and I'm absolutely convinced that I was doing better when I was, like, tapping my foot or kind of, like, bobbing up and down to the rhythm of the music.
Right. Yeah, I bobbed up and down for that, like, the whole demo for that, all three of them.
But yeah, it was awesome. And the other two demos were like you had to stick a fork in a pea that was like someone was like sending like a...
Yeah, they're kind of flicking them at you at a really high speed.
Yeah, and there was like the other demo where it's like two cats in airplanes playing badminton.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy stuff. And as the level went on, like they descended down in the clouds so you could not see them anymore. Like the...
Right.
the sun would set and like you would see just like their silhouettes and no, it was I can't wait for it.
Yeah, Rhythm Heaven was really funny. I really liked the DS game, but I think these were even more outlandish. These three demos, for the most part.
Oh, absolutely! And if you watch the trailer, there's even like crazier stuff going on. You know, like this baboon giving you golf balls.
That oh yeah, swing. Saw that.
No, it looks amazing.
It was really excellent, really funny. Good game.
Cool. Any questions, Carlos? Are you interested in that game at all?
No, I have been very silent.
Okay.
I'm blissfully unaware of this entire series, actually. I don't know anything about it.
I think it's a mistake to write it off. I think you should check it out. all right, so we also played Fortune Street. Matt and I played together, and with Chris and the booth woman there.
Yes, and, the lady of the booth.
How do you explain that? It's Monopoly, except with
Fortune
Mario
Street
and Square Enix characters.
It's sort of like Monopoly with, I guess, upgrades, you'd say. It's got a few more options, you know, to keep things kind of moving. You basically move around the small board, landing on spaces and buying
property.
Buying property. Yep. Other players can land on that and pay you, and you can upgrade the property for a fee, and they would pay you even more. But
you can also buy the property off them through auctions, or if you fall on it, you can forcibly take it from them, but you have to pay five times its price.
It was pretty fun. I don't think it'll be a very good one-player game, is the thing.
No.
But I think you know, I had a good time playing it with three other players. I kind of got the hang of it by around the middle of it. It just doesn't feel too video gamey, I guess. It feels kind of a lot like a board game, and I kind of like board games, so I enjoyed it well enough. But
yeah, I think we've spent enough time on it.
All right, that's enough. That's enough time on Fortune Street.
Yeah.
All right.
I can say I saw the trailer and it looks fun.
Yeah, sure. if you've got people to play with and you like Monopoly and you like Mario and Square Enix, go for it. It was fun. It was fun. I think one of the few other games I played there was We Play Motion, but apparently that's already out. So who needs impressions? All right. So what else? That's pretty much.
That's pretty much it for the Wii, I think. Outside of
I played a little bit of the.
Played like Mario and
game,
Sonic.
Mario and Sonic.
Yeah, I mean that was all right. I did a couple. What did I do? Long jump and the spinny thing. I mean, it was all right.
Yeah, I wasn't too impressed. I played one of the fantasy games, and it was kind of, it looked like a platformer. Like you had to bump on these clouds.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Disappear and stuff. It was a bit confusing, though. You had a move where you spin, and that was supposed to do something, but I'm not sure exactly what. So, yeah, and I was playing against a computer, so that's terrible. A four-player party game against a computer?
Yeah.
No.
3DS?
And, sure. 3DS. Okay. Luigi's Mansion 2. It's like Luigi's Mansion. Except it's on the 3DS.
I ended up playing through that whole demo. Actually,
me too.
The boss. It was pretty fun. Yeah, it was good. The only thing I'm kind of worried about is that there doesn't seem to be too many new elements just yet.
No.
But I mean, what's there works well. I'll say the controls are a little funny because you don't have that second stick. Mm-hmm. You basically can only move the vacuum up and down instead of left and right.
Yeah, I failed moving it left and right as well, and I thought maybe it was just me, but maybe it was actually how the controls worked.
Yeah,
well, we have multiple mansions confirmed, so hopefully there'll be some visual variety there.
Yeah, that's cool how they have numerous mansions. Reggie said not one, but several.
Yeah, but we only had the one, and we probably didn't explore it fully. So, it was exactly like the first Luigi's Mansion, and there's not really much to say about it.
I think there was one difference. Basically, you instead of stunning the ghost with your flashlight automatically, the A button now shoots light at them, kind of like it makes the flashlight kind of flash like a flash cube or a photograph. If you hold down the button, it'll charge it like Mega Man shot. And make a bigger flash so you can stun more ghosts at once. That's pretty much the main gameplay change I noticed.
It sounds kind of like Alan Wake.
I haven't played
it. Yeah, I haven't played it, but maybe so.
You have the flashlight bursting. Yeah.
Hmm.
But okay. How did it look visually compared to the GameCube version? You think it was on par?
It was like the same great animation, and the 3D I thought looked nice. I can't really remember. Like a lot of the 3DS games on display were like you could visibly see that the frame rate was not all there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's just me, but like it was definitely like 30 frames per second or less.
Oh, right.
And but yeah, like I guess it comes with the territory. It seems to be the case with a lot of 3DS games.
For the 6 first party games, I thought the 3D effect was really good in all of them. Like I played Pilot Wings Resort, and if you have it cranked up all the way for like Pilot Wings, it's like, whoa, it's kind of a I don't know. There's something up with that, but for all these other games, it was a really nice effect when you had them cranked up all the way. So I pretty much played 3D on all the time. It looked nice in Luigi's Mansion, but overall, I'd say the visuals in Luigi's Mansion were probably not quite as good as the GameCube one. There wasn't as much dust, I guess. I remember there being a lot of dust in the GameCube one, which was a really cool effect. But
I think that the GameCube game probably doesn't look as good as you remember it. Because it was a launch game, right? So like lots of better looking stuff came out afterwards.
Plus, it's got the 3D, and I've seen the 3D trailer on the 3DS, and it looks pretty fantastic in certain rooms, at least.
Yeah.
Really good.
I don't really have any complaints, I guess, except for maybe the frame rate. But again, I want to stress that these are demos, and like I don't have a whole lot of experience with demos like so far before games are actually published. So I'm guessing that there's a lot that they can improve between now and then.
Yeah.
But just a quick disclaimer.
Shall we talk about that game starring Luigi's brother? What's his name?
Let's talk about, I'm just following, the list of impressions that I wrote. So
right
now at Kid Icarus.
Kid Icarus, so, okay.
Not
Luigi's brother will have to wait, okay.
So, prepare to meet the light, Medusa.
You know what? I really... really, really, really like the dialogue in that game. Like,
really?
It is like, I don't know. Like, I really enjoyed it, like, way more than I think anyone else on the planet does. Because I played through the easy demo and the medium demo. And, I don't know, it's just really kind of charming and enjoyable to me. They had the kind of these sly nods to the first game, like, Pit references, you know, if my wings burned up, I'm finished, you know? And it's just kind of like, it's just like, oh, okay, I got that reference. but I don't know, the banter between Palutena and Pit was just, it's just kind of fun and sort of the way it's kind of the tone that I want to see from the series, I guess. It's a little bit lighthearted and just a little bit corny, but kind of fun and pretty well acted at the same time.
I don't like his voice. I don't like Kid Icarus' voice. Sounds more like Teen Icarus or something.
Teen Icarus. You think he should be more youthful? He pretty much sounds like he did in Brawl. He's a refresher.
He reminds me of Sonic a bit. Like, he says the types of things that Sonic would say.
That's a pretty low blow there, Guillaume.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I haven't played, actually, that many Sonic games where Sonic speaks, but I don't know. Kind of like that teenager kind of a little bit annoying.
a little bit annoying, but you know, I think it works for him.
So
happy with that.
So yeah, like you start out the demo. I only played the easy one, and it was indeed very easy. You start out flying, and you're shooting down enemies, and basically you're supposed to move around with the slide pad and aim with the touchscreen, but I didn't really need to move with a slide pad. These enemies were just like target practice. Like they were not doing much. And every time you shot them, like they would give you hearts, which I think converted to your timer. And
I wasn't quite sure what I think that might have been right. I think it might have been the timer. It wasn't life, I know that much.
Yeah. And then when that was over, well, like I guess I could say that it's not quite Sin and Punishment level of good level design. But again, it was just like the easy demo. So not only it was a demo, but it was like the baby one. So I guess I can't really judge the quality there. But yeah, like at the end of that, Pit lands and you start controlling him underground. And I'm still not sure exactly. Like, he has a dash move, right?
Yeah.
Like, how do you trigger that? Like, were you supposed to, like, flick the
from
side
what
pad twice
from
or what?
Tell, from what I could tell, it was kind of like in Smash Brothers, where you release the pad and then tap it. So you sort of, you know, you sort of jostle it all the way to the end. Like, I guess quickly, instead of tilting it, you sort of tap it quickly. I think that was pretty much how you activate the dash move. It was a little unintuitive the way they had it set up.
Absolutely, I agree. And not only that, speaking of unintuitiveness, the way you turned around was that you had to kind of like slide the stylus on the screen, like you had to flick the screen, kind of.
Yeah.
And you don't feel a whole lot of accuracy there, I thought. Like, you can't really be like, oh, I'm going to turn exactly 180 degrees here. And, you know, like, I couldn't do that on demand.
All right.
But, again, you know, it's a demo. You've got limited time. So who knows? Maybe it's something that you get used to.
Yeah, I had issues with the controls on foot as well. I like the flying segments when I played it. There was a tougher one in the medium demo where you fight kind of this boss halfway through. But, I still can't help but like the game, though, because, I mean, I like the original Kid Icarus, and I kind of like the feel they're going for here. I mean, it's kind of a Sin and Punishment type game instead of, you know, an action platformer, but I'm still looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
I just hope it feels better for, like, left-handed people like me, because you got to use your right hand for all the stylus stuff.
Mm.
That's a big reason why I never got Metroid Prime Hunters.
Right. We played also the multiplayer, and that was fun, but again, it used the same controls.
Yeah, I got killed.
Yeah, I killed you.
You killed me, man.
Yeah, and that was pretty fun. Like, I wish I had thought of asking someone, probably they didn't know, but like, is this online or not? Because if it's just, you know, in the same room, then that 3-on-3 that we played, like, that was probably the last time I'm ever going to get to play it.
Oh, right, yeah.
But,
yeah, six people with Kid Icarus.
Yeah, good luck. But that was really fun. And like the way it worked was that you had like these normal soldiers, I guess, that you played as.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, you would become Pit himself, and then you had like slightly better. You had like a much more powerful weapon, and that kind of homed in on the enemies. So yeah, I'm guessing that like the reward for killing the enemy Pit was like, you know, a ton of points. But
oh, actually, from what the guy was telling me when I was playing, there was someone telling me how it worked. You have 3 versus 3, and you know, they're each angels. And when all three of them die, one of them turns into Pit. And when you kill Pit, you win basically. So like,
oh.
It's you turn into Pit near the end, and you're the target basically by that point.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I actually, like, my team won, but I had no idea what I was doing.
Your team won because you were Pit and I was Pit, and you killed me. So we were both, you know, we were both about to die, basically.
Huh. Okay, well, that's interesting. I wish someone had told me the rules, maybe. Because, yeah, like, you kept dying and dying and always coming back, and I thought, like, that counted somewhere.
Yeah,
but...
there's a team life bar. Whenever you die, it goes down. And when it goes all the way... One of them turns into Pit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, let's move on to, finally, Luigi's brother.
All right.
Little guy called Mario.
Woo-hoo!
So we played Super Mario 3DS. And,
oh, there he is.
Nice. So, yeah, we played it, and it sucked.
What?
No, I'm sorry. No, we played it, and we were confused. Is that right?
We were confused.
I was confused.
I wasn't really confused. I mean, there is one thing that I think is a really weird design decision, and that, well, actually a couple. The main
no
one though, yeah. That, well, there is analog, but it's like between slow walk and normal walk. You hold Y to run, and you hold Y to run in Luigi's Mansion as well, and I don't understand why you need to do that.
Isn't that what they did for Super Mario 64?
3D,
DS.
Yeah, DS, yeah. But I mean, at least they have the excuse of, I guess, having a D-pad. I guess it doesn't really make sense at all, still.
You should hold Y to walk.
So then you can sneak past the piranha plants in that one level, and for the rest of the game, you can run around.
Yeah, because like it didn't really, I didn't think at all that I would need to hold down a button to run. Like, it hasn't been that way in any 3D Mario game ever. So, like, the first time I played through, like, the one of the levels of the demo, I played it entirely while walking. And that didn't, like, that felt really, really sluggish. And I don't know, like, I thought, like, wow, like, this is really hard because, like, I'm jumping to these platforms and I can barely make it. And then, you know, someone pointed out, hey, you can run. Oh, okay. Well, now it's much better.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I still thought that the game was still kind of sluggish. Is it just me? Like, even when you're running?
I didn't really feel it was... I mean, he doesn't run particularly fast, but the levels are kind of tightly designed. They're not large arenas like people initially thought. This is definitely not the next Mario 64 or Sunshine. It really feels like a combination between New Super Mario Brothers, Mario Brothers 3, and Mario Galaxy, which, in my opinion, is actually not a bad place to be. I had a lot of fun with the demo. It might have been my favorite 3DS game there. I went back to it twice to play all four levels, and I had a good time with it. My favorite one was I think the third level in the demo. It has that
the
Mario 3 athletic theme, and it's just like one of those levels in 3D. It's a bunch of floating platforms. They've got these buttons you step on, and they start unfolding all these platforms that fold up over time. And it's really well done. It kind of makes a bunch of structures and things that you climb up and go across, and the whole thing's, of course, above a giant bottomless pit. And it feels a lot like one of those athletic-type levels in 3D, sort of like the Sweet Sweet Galaxy in Mario Galaxy. But one thing to keep in mind is that it does not feel very three-dimensional. It feels kind of like Luigi's Mansion or Paper Mario, where the camera is just pulled back a little bit, and it's kind of at a fixed angle. So it feels more cramped than I thought it would. I mean, the gameplay is great. Like, it's really tight, and it's Mario, and the level design is really good, and it's fun to have that 3D element. But it's not really... it's not like Mario 64 or even Galaxy, where you have these wider open worlds, at least from the indication given by the demo levels.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's kind of, I don't know, I don't know how to say it, but I guess you already did with like the Super Mario, the Paper Mario thing. Like, you've got basically, it's kind of side-scrolling with a little depth. You know, it's kind of like Final Fight or something. Like, you can go like in the background, in the foreground, but you mostly go left or right.
You can angle the camera a little bit. The touchscreen has a couple camera buttons that adjust the camera, but it's not quite as fixed as a game like Final Fight or like the Ninja Turtles. It's more like imagine, I guess, maybe a little more like Luigi's Mansion, if Luigi could, you know, was really acrobatic and could jump around the mansion, and you could kind of, you know, there are pits and stuff. It plays a little bit like that, but it is a lot of fun. And you know, they have the airship level, and you fight a 3D version of Boom Boom, who is the, if you remember Mario 3, the boss of the fortresses. In that game, he would kind of wave his hand, the music would go da 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 do do, and he would be, you know, waving his hands and stomping him three times, and he was easy, and he drops the key. You fight it. What's
that? The guy looks like Nelson Muntz?
Yeah, he looks kind of like Nelson Muntz. Yeah.
With spikes all over his ass.
That's him. That's the one. Yeah, so you pop him three times in the demo as well. He spins his arms, you know, like you expect him to, and you fight him on in an airship, which is kind of cool.
You know what? You just made me feel incredibly stupid. I recognize the character, but for some reason, I kept thinking he was one of the Koopa kids.
Oh, yeah, you're thinking of Martin Koopa.
Yeah. Why did
who also that? Looks like Nelson Muntz with his pig nose. But but yeah, it's actually not one of the Koopalings that you fight in the demo. It's definitely the guy from Mario 3.
Yeah.
Boom Boom. So the other weird decision...
Name?
Yeah, Boom Boom. that's the name of the mini-boss, in case you didn't know. This is Mario 3 trivia for you.
I thought that was your pet name for him.
What's that?
I thought that was maybe your pet name for him.
No, that's not my pet name. That is his official name. His mother gave him that name, Boom Boom. Yeah, so the other weird thing about the Mario demo was that the Tanuki suit. You get the Tanuki suit. It's in the game's logo, and it's in the game's marketing. It's like, oh, man, it's back, you know? The leaf gives you...
And it's triggered by the wrong
Yeah, the leaf...
Run.
Yes, exactly.
The Tanuki suit. And here, I think the reason for that is because the raccoon, I guess, is a little more iconic, but the Tanuki suit was pretty much a better raccoon suit. But that's kind of rendered moot when you realize the Tanuki suit doesn't turn into a statue in the game. And it doesn't fly either, so it's like, what the heck, Nintendo?
Yeah, perhaps a bit of the disappointment. But maybe they're going to implement more functionality later. I've got no idea.
And for what it's worth, floating down with the tail feels really good, and swiping the tail as a weapon also feels really good. It pretty much feels exactly like you think it would. Useful for platforming.
Yeah, no complaint there. I just wish that Mario had a cap with raccoon ears.
Well, also kudos to Nintendo for not making the fire flower timed like in Galaxy.
Yes.
You can actually get the fire flower and shoot fireballs to your heart's content.
I was just about to say that, but the one problem is, isn't it sort of not timed, but very set up? Because like Mario Galaxy 2, you got the cloud suit, and that wasn't timed, but you can use it only in very specific places. So that's what I'm worried they're going to do with Super Mario 3DS as well.
Well, it looked like you're going to be, like, as long as you can keep it, you know, as long as you're not get,
yeah,
you don't get hit, like, you're going to be able to play, to keep it for
you
the rest of the
You can store an
level.
Item in the touchscreen, like in New Super Mario Brothers, or, I guess, like, Super Mario World, you know?
Yeah.
So if you want, you can store Firefly down there and hang on to it.
I didn't even notice
that. Yeah, each of the demos started with a leaf in the touchscreen, so you could... You know, you could bring out the leaf if you wanted to.
Does it do that? Does it do that little noise? Booka, booka, booka? When you use your thing?
I'm trying to remember. It probably made something like that sound.
Yeah, it was hard to hear. Like, they provided headphones for these, but they were cheap. They were not, like, they didn't surround
your ears.
And it was
a loud room. Like, the Nintendo booth was massive.
It was crazy, yeah. Yeah, does that wrap it up for Super Mario? It felt like a Mario game.
I mean, it's definitely something I'm going to pick up. I don't know if I can say at this point that it'll be as good as, like, the Galaxy games, but I think it'll be at least as good as the new Super Mario Brothers games, if I had to guess at this point.
Hmm. All right. I feel that we have to try to give, like, lightning impressions, even though, like, the rest of the games are still, like, really interesting. All right, so Resident Evil Revelations.
Oh, yeah.
Again, it made the believer out of me, just like Twilight Princess. Again, I'm not the biggest fan of Resident Evil 4 on the board. Wow, I guess I'm not the biggest fan of a lot of franchises. But I swear, I do like games in general.
Well, this again?
But Revelations played really well. The things that I noticed was that the enemies took a lot of bullets to kill. A lot. Like, they wouldn't go down. And you only had, like, one or two clips at the beginning, and you got rid of that first clip really, really quickly. And then, like, you make it, like, you solve a basic Resident Evil puzzle, you know, like, oh, I don't have the key. Well, I'm going to go to the bathroom, and there's, like, filthy water in the bathtub. I'm going to drain it. There's the key. So I'm going to use the key. So that was, like, really nothing we haven't seen before. But, like, the enemies were really weird, like, kind of...
Silent Hill-y. It reminded me of Silent Hill stuff, actually.
Yeah,
I don't know. They reminded me of, like, leeches.
They're sort of, like, big, big, fleshy, gross things. They are kind of Silent Hill-ish.
Yeah, not like Resident Evil Zero. More like a humanoid giant leech that was, you know, like, naked and shiny and... you know, like, it had kind of a tube coming out of its mouth. I'm not sure what it was about. But, yeah, like, you shoot it and it kind of melts away. Like, it was really, really
animation
weird.
Looks fantastic when that thing melts away, by the way. Wow.
Yeah, definitely look at the trailer, people, if you haven't already. But, yeah, so, like, that played great. And you run out of ammo really quickly, and then you get the shotgun, and you're like, yes, finally, shotgun. And you realize there's only two shells, and you're like, damn it.
It sounds like they're trying to go back to their old roots, trying to make more survival horror and less action.
Let me tell you.
I have to be, like, you know, again, disclaimer, it's a demo, it's a... perhaps there was going to be tons of ammo, but there definitely wasn't in that demo.
Yeah.
Revelations. Well,
starts off like that.
Oh, what's that?
I was just saying, yeah, RE4 starts off little ammo, and then end of the game you have 1,000 handgun rounds, so...
Yeah, well, Revelations, to me, was a game a lot of people were talking about for a while, and I hadn't really paid too much attention to it, because for some reason I was kind of thinking it was, you know, it's a handheld game, it's just going to be kind of like a okay spin-off. But when I played it, I was like, wow, this is kind of like my two favorite Resident Evil games mixed into one, which is the remake and Resident Evil 4. Which was really encouraging to me. Like, I enjoyed it a lot more than I expected to, because like Guillaume said, it was you basically run out of bullets pretty quickly, so you got to conserve your ammo. But it's got that same sort of over the shoulder view from Resident Evil 4, so you know it doesn't quite feel as funky as the static angles. And you're in this mansion environment, and it looks really good. You know, it's all in real time, and of course, you know, the 3D effect is nice. And yeah, it just seems to be mixing the kind of a lot of really good elements from the remake and Resident Evil 4, and I was just really impressed with it overall, so I'm definitely looking forward to Revelations.
Yeah, there's just a little bit of inconsistency, but like that's gonna sound like a really stupid complaint for about a series about like a zombie infestation, but you know, like you're walking around, it's this mansion environment, like you go through like this ballroom or something, like there's tables everywhere, like this kitchen, like nothing is disturbed, you know, like there's chandeliers, they don't really move, and then at the end of the demo, you get out, you're in a freaking storm, you're in a ship. And like it's like you're in a storm, so it's kind of weird to me that while you're inside, like there's no indication of that. Like never does she, you know, like lose her footing because like things are rocking, you know, like everything is still neat
so,
everywhere.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. It is on a ship, right?
It is. Like you pretty quickly, you see that you're on a ship in a storm, and like the only lifeboat or whatever that there is explodes, and so you're stuck with your partner.
So is this like a luxury cruise or something? Because I thought the original idea was that it was like a tanker, like some oil tanker.
It looked the parts that I've seen looked kind of like a luxury cruise.
Yeah, so. I didn't know actually that mansion part was on the ship. I wasn't able to get to the end of the demo because I had to. I was in the middle of playing and I had to leave for some reason. I think I had to go meet someone or something, but yeah, that's interesting then. So that part actually wasn't part of a mansion, it was actually part of the ship.
Yeah, but my final thoughts on the, well, final thought. I thought that it was a really good demo. It definitely struck the right notes for me. There was like the humanoid leech enemy that we saw, but like in like a kitchen somewhere, like you saw like bodies of people just like drained of their blood, and there was like a bigger kind of leech that definitely kind of scared me. So that was, I was satisfied with that, you know, like, oh, already like there's a bigger enemy that I don't want to be fighting right now. So I like that. And the only thing that I didn't really like was that at some point you find a scanner, and like this scanner you use to find ammunition, basically, or different objects in the game. Yeah, like it's really, really weird. Like usually in every Resident Evil game, like you've got like every item is flashing somewhere. You just press A when you're next to them, and whoops, okay, you grab like a weapon or ammunition or whatever. But in this case, you have to scan them first before they appear. And sometimes, like you would scan something, and like, oh, okay, it seems to be on that table over there, and you would go over to the table and still not see it, and you had to go around, and it turned out it was
it was beneath
the table. You had to be like at this very particular place before
why does
you could
it,
pick it
how
up.
How does it even make sense? So that, is there an explanation as to why you have to scan something before you can pick it up?
Not in the demo. Maybe in the game.
Sort of weird. It should be clarified, though, that not every item needs scanning. Like, you'll still see items hanging around and stuff, but I think it's for uncovering hidden items. But it is sort of weird because it kind of just adds an extra step to the whole process, at least from what I've played.
Yeah, and to be quite honest, I don't think you could finish the demo without really scanning for more ammunition, unless you didn't kill the enemies, I guess. Like, I think it's... I don't know. Like, I hope they handle that well, but I was not too...
Yeah, for a series where people complain about design decisions, that's an interesting choice. And speaking of design decisions, can you move when you're aiming in that game or no?
I think you can, but I didn't quite figure
I didn't try
out.
It. I probably should have. I kept thinking along the lines of the other games, the other Resident Evil games.
Yeah, I just wanted to finish the demo. Like, you know, like you've got 15 minutes, and I think I finished it in 14. Okay. So I didn't have time to try to experiment like that. All right, let's move on to... I wish... Yeah, those weren't lightning impressions at all. Okay, Mario Kart DS. 3DS, I mean. It was very fluid. It played like Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Side boost, how do you call that?
It works
like
a
V.
The drifting, yeah. And, I don't really have anything to add. It was perhaps like higher frame rate than the rest of the games that I saw. I'm not sure, but yeah, it was very smooth. And flying with the hang glider was pretty fun. I hope there's some strategy involved in like staying up in the air or just like diving to try to get some speed. And underwater, I didn't really feel that controlled all.
Well, these upgrades that you use in the game, are they optional or? But
well, like no, they were automatic at certain spots in the game. At some point, like you got a jump, and like the hang glider just sprang out. But like there was like kind of a weapon or item selection screen before. Like you could choose your different sets of wheels, different carts. And you could choose between the hang glider and something else. So maybe you could choose between, like, perhaps, like, the people who chose the other thing that actually, like, you couldn't see. Like, there was a
question
mark.
Couldn't actually.
So you couldn't pick it up in the demo. But there's going to be something there. So there's going to be, I guess, some strategy in picking one of these two.
Right. You get coins to increase your speed, like in the Super Nintendo game. And, I like the addition of the hang glider because in the past Mario Kart games, like I play a lot of Mario Kart Wii Online, but a lot of times when you're in the air, it feels like you're really slowing down. It feels so slow. Like it's not fun to get in the air like it is in like Excitebox. Like Excitebox, oh man, I love getting in the air. But yeah, in Mario Kart, it always feels so sluggish. So it was nice to see the hang glider. You kind of have a good amount of speed and you can control when you land. So pretty neat addition. Mm-hmm. My only complaint really is that there's no 12-player stuff, which is really fun online.
Yeah, maybe they're going to add it. I mean, there were only 8 characters in the demo. I'm sure there's going to be more.
Was the demo multiplayer or?
No, it was single player. Three tracks.
One of them based kind of on the Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Yeah, it had the Donkey Kong music too. It had the it was kind of cool. Because they usually don't do that in Mario Kart. They usually don't like have Mario music. They kind of have whistles and weird things.
Okay, so we also played the Ocarina of Time, but it's going to be out already when this is going to be
tomorrow.
Like 3 hours from my time.
Yeah, so it doesn't really matter, I guess.
Good. It looks better than I thought it'd be. It was nice, and the gyroscope was nice. Okay.
Yeah, and I'm more likely to pick it up now than I was before I played the demo. So. Yeah, I really liked aiming the slingshot with motion control.
Yeah, it works much better than you think it would.
Yeah, it's ultra precise. Star Fox 64 3DS.
Do a barrel roll.
Do a barrel roll.
Indeed, it's Star Fox. Some of the changes I saw besides the visuals was that the medals. It used to be, like, in the original version, like, you can get a medal if you get an insanely high score in a level. But this time, there's, like, 3 different medals, like bronze,
silver, and gold.
Silver and gold.
Score
Wait, didn't the original
Yeah,
one?
So... Nope. You only had one medal, and, like, that was if you hit, the one target that you had. And I don't think that the target is made explicit in the original version, but in this case, like before you start the level, you know how many you're supposed
to
hold.
The sound, the voices. I've always enjoyed Star Fox 64's voices. They re-recorded they re-recorded all of them. It sounds like, but from what the guy was telling me, they found as many of the old actors as they could, and they got sound-alikes for the other ones. And it actually sounds pretty good. Some of the voices are a little funny, but you can tell they definitely tried to keep the same inflections. So you have the guy that goes, "Who are you guys?" And then Star, like, "We're Star Fox." You know, it's got like the same inflections for each of the things. Are you going to listen to that monkey?
Except,
you know, they clearly like listened to the old line and then tried to replicate it, you know, the same way, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah, and it just sounds much clearer than the original, where it was just.
I hope they don't get rid of Pigma. I love Pigma.
Pigma, Daddy screamed real good.
Daddy screamed real good.
Real. Oh man, there goes the mic again. Oh, man, Pigma. It looked really good, actually. Like, it looked a lot better than I thought it would. The visuals, like the beginning of Corneria with the water, was kind of insane.
What's that fire like, planet called? It looks ridiculously good.
Yeah, solar has definitely been improved as well.
Yeah, the lava looks completely different. Like, it has a texture to it. I don't have any complaints on that side. Only one thing, the tilt controls didn't really work for me. I mean, as well as they worked in the, you know, to aim a slingshot in Ocarina of Time, like, it didn't work here because, I don't know, I guess the difference is that it has to reset to zero at some point. Or, you know, the fact that where you aim is tied with where you're going.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, whereas, like, in Ocarina of Time, like, you're not moving at all. So
wouldn't it also be hard to maintain wouldn't it be hard to maintain as well with the 3D effect?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe with some practice some people would get really good.
For the Corneria level. You pretty much just like you move your head a little bit with it. It sort of feels intuitive. The stick for some reason was not inverted. Like up was up and down was down, unlike in Star Trek 64, which
was you could change that.
You could change that. So. Yeah, that was a little funny. I did the multiplayer in that, and it was actually really fun. Like it felt a lot smoother than the original Star Trek 64 multiplayer.
But it's not online, so who cares?
Gotta find it for
no, but I didn't try the multiplayer, but yeah, thumbs up, I guess, for Star Fox 64 if you want to pay for it again. Yep. Okay. True lightning impressions. Heroes of Ruin. That was good.
Oh, I didn't say
it looked like it plays like a Diablo clone. You know, it's going to be multiplayer online, I think. It's going to be one of those loot games where you embark on missions and with friends, and you just bash the crap out of undead creatures or whatever. And it looked good. Overhead perspective. The 3D made it look like. Well, made it look really nice, kind of like little figures, you know, walking around in a pretty good-looking environment. I didn't really have any time to toy with the different options. There was like on the touch screen, you could touch something to automatically equip the last loot that you picked up, so that's probably a good thing. I have no idea when it's coming out, but... it's something to look forward to, I think. I played Ace Combat as well. The demo was really, really bare bones. I'm not sure, but I think all it was wave after wave of enemies. And there was like... I haven't played Skycrawlers from the same team, but like there was something where you could press a button after you had... you were on the tail of an enemy for a while, and like it would bring you automatically behind him so that you could take him down easily. And that was in this demo as well. It's kind of a win button. And I'm not sure if I really appreciate that or not. I definitely used it because it was pretty hard. But and I wanted to see the end of the demo, but you know, after 5 minutes when I saw that the objective was always a new wave of enemies, I stopped. And also I played Tetris.
Oh yeah, I played that very briefly as well.
Yeah, what mode did you, like, there weren't a whole lot of modes in the demo, right?
I did one where you, it's like normal Tetris for a little bit, and then it switches to, like, a screen full of blocks, and you get nothing but, like, L blocks. And they're just perfectly shaped to where you can clear the L block lines really fast, and you're supposed to clear as many as possible. And then it flips back to the puzzle you were just doing. It was kind of neat, I guess. But, you know, I tested the spin, like the infinite spin, which has always driven me crazy, and I think it's still in the new game.
Yeah, it's a requirement now. It's part of the official rules.
I hate that stupid infinite spin.
But yeah, the mode that you're talking about was called Fever, and I thought it was pretty cool. Like it was like kind of a, you know, someone put a WarioWare in my Tetris. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
That pretty much wraps up. I did play Picture Lives.
Oh yeah, sure, yeah. What was that about?
It was weird. Like basically, you start off. You can create a little character. You don't draw him. You pick different parts. Like you put like a head or a body. I'm pretty sure the head and the body were the same. You put, you know, like eyes and like you can, you know, pick between different parts.
Okay.
You can put like I kept putting three legs on my guy for some reason. But you know, he didn't mind. He was still pretty happy to, in the second part of the demo, to walk around.
Wait, you said he had a third leg?
Yes, that's exactly what I said. And it's an actual leg. So yeah, like after that, like the second part of the demo was kind of weird because it was timed and like you didn't have a whole lot of time to do anything really, but you had to look find these characters. You accept missions from them. The missions were really basic stuff, like go eat some grapes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the way you controlled was that you held the stylus on one side or the other of the guy to get him walking, you know, in the direction you want him to walk.
Yeah.
Or you could like use the stylus to fling him, kind of like a slingshot. Mm. You know, like you would draw him back and then release, and he would jump really, really high. So the control method was pretty cool, I thought. But it seems really basic, and that's probably why it's an eShop game. I'm probably going to check it out when it comes out. And I think that's pretty much it. Like, there wasn't really anything else, right?
Like, there was Metal. That's like the entire Nintendo booth, I think we did.
There was Metal Gear Solid, but I haven't played that. Well, game before, I like the third one.
I played a few minutes of it. It looked nice. I tranquilized a crocodile. I ate a snake, and then I got caught by some guards. The controls are a little weird. The face buttons are the camera, but I mean, it looks pretty good. It's Metal Gear, you know. So it looks on the 3DS, no less. So, it's pretty nice looking. Konami, you know, pushing the power, but you know, it's a port of the PlayStation 3 game. I'm thinking so.
Yeah. Okay. So the games outside the Nintendo booth, have you played? What have you played, Matt?
I didn't play a whole lot. I'm trying to think. I played some of Sonic Generations, which of course is the chubby Sonic.
What the hell?
what was that weird groan mean exactly?
I said, oh, because I want that thing on Wii U really badly. Or Wii,
yeah,
but...
yeah. Well, they had a 3DS version, but weirdly enough, I didn't play that one. I was curious to play the console one. And I played it on a 3D TV, which is kind of strange. You had to wear these kind of weird glasses that kept...
Yeah, I played the 3D version on in Sony's booth.
Oh, so like, was that Sony's new 3D TV, or was that just...
I have no idea. I personally,
think
what did you think, Matt?
I played the 2D version on a non-3D TV, but it had that HDTV delay. So I can't quite tell you exactly how it was, but the chubby, you know, the retro Sonic, he basically go through Green Hill Zone. It's got the, you know, it's got the old music and stuff, and it feels pretty good. You know, it feels very similar to the old game. I hear complaints about Sonic 4. I've never played it, but I hear complaints about the physics, how you, if you jump and stop pressing the direction, Sonic will basically hit a wall, and it didn't really feel like that. The physics felt pretty similar from, you know, the brief bit I played to the Genesis game. So, I mean, that was pretty fun. There was a delay on the HDTV, so I can't really tell you fully. And then I switched to the 3D TV to try out the 3D mode that didn't have a delay. And the 3D mode, I mean, basically, it's like the newer Sonic, you know, he's the taller.
Yeah.
And that's like a newer style of play. It's Green Hill Zone, but it's a different level. It's behind his back. And that didn't really play as well, I thought. It felt kind of buggy and There were some issues with like the running. Like you'll come up to a thing, and if you don't dive in time, you'll do this like really slow like slide through it. I don't know. And I kind of went into some pits.
Well, that was kind of a bullet time kind of stuff, right? It was weird. No,
I don't know if it was supposed to be bullet time. I think he was just sliding very slowly. If you miss it, it's only if you miss it. You see, if you go on time, it was fast. And you've got kind of a boost thing. And I mean, it was. It was all right, I guess, but it definitely had some of the issues that have come to plague the 3D Sonic. So I think I enjoyed the old school Sonic section better, for sure.
Okay, I played the demo of I didn't play the 2D one because I saw someone play it and was over before it started. Like it was really really short, so I played the newer kind of level. With the new Sonic, I mean.
Yeah.
And I don't really have anything to add. Like, I agree entirely. The frame rate was annoying a bit in 3D.
Yeah.
And,
when will Sega learn?
I don't know about you, but I thought that the 3D glasses kind of muted the colors a little bit.
I can't really remember how I felt about the colors particularly. I was kind of bugged because they weren't really... I think the pair I had was kind of broken because they were sideways and they weren't really fitting on my face very well. And I just have kind of a regular sized head, you know. There's nothing, but I think the glasses were just kind of crooked or something. I couldn't really get them to sit right, so I was more distracted by that. So that might have hampered my 3D TV experience. So,
all right. But yeah, it felt like a Sonic game to me, whatever that means. And I'm not a... Oh, God, that phrase again. I'm not the hugest fan of Sonic in the world. So
well, I think that's okay, though. Like, more so than right. Zelda or something.
Yeah, I think that Sonic fans will find what they're looking for in the 2D levels.
Yeah, I think the 2D levels was... I thought that was pretty good. It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Besides that, though, I didn't really play a whole lot outside of Nintendo's booth. I played Rune Factory Tides of Destiny for a few minutes because I'm a big fan of the Wii one. And okay. It was pretty neat. Basically, if I can like do a lightning impression, the farming was much simpler, I guess. You basically have your monsters farm. But the combat was a lot cooler because you have this sort of like Zelda camera. Instead of that top-down, it's sort of behind his back, and you're doing like these... kind of acrobatic moves, like you're jumping up and hitting them over and over, like you're juggling them in the air and stuff, like the monsters. So the combat seems to be improved, the farming seems to be downsized, and the rest of the game is kind of neat. There seemed to be a lot of stuff to do. There's a ton of personal stats now. There are like 15 in Frontier, which is already a lot, like farming and lab and things, you can level all those up. Now it's like 30 with stuff like earth resistance and magic resistance and all these other actions, so it was pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that demo. I have never played Harvest Moon, so I was completely out of my depth.
Yeah, it's not really the easiest game to demo.
No, and it was like the PS3 version, but it looked like a Wii game in HD, basically.
Yeah.
So I don't think that Wii people will be missing out on anything by playing that version.
Right, that's what I hear. And the one other game I played that wasn't Nintendo that immediately comes to mind is Catherine from Atlus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, creators of probably my favorite PlayStation 2 game, Persona 4, which is really...
Yes.
So Catherine...
We talked about Persona 4 a bit in a past episode.
Oh, yeah, okay. I think I might have missed that one, because, I really like Persona 4. And I like Atlus a lot. They did, like, Trauma Center and Trauma Team. Those are really good games. Catherine is basically... It has pretty much the same art style as Persona. It's got a similar character design and things. So it's got kind of a charming sort of design to it. And basically the premise of the game is that you're this guy who's kind of a sort of a lovable ruffian type, I guess. And he's about to get married to his longtime girlfriend wants to get married. Her name is Catherine with a K. But he falls for this seductive temptress, Catherine with a C, this blonde-haired, you know, little number that, you know, he ends up sleeping with her. And so then he starts having these nightmares about commitment and about adultery. And you're basically, those are the playable sections. Yeah, those are the playable sections. These sections are like action puzzle sections. So it's a really strange game. You're basically playing as this sheep version of him, battling with other sheep that to climb this tower. And you're pulling out these blocks and you're pushing in blocks. And I really don't know how to explain it, but it had a pretty cool like style going on it. For it. It was a pretty different game, and during the day, you're like hanging out at bars with friends and talking to people, and you go in these confessionals, like, you know, like the Roman Catholics have the confessional where you sit there and confess your sins. It'll ask you a question like, do you think marriage is the beginning of life or the end of life? And, you know, those are your two options, and you pull whichever rope you you know, you think it is, and then you get like an online poll of people, you know, people's answers to see how they measure up. And this apparently, yeah, determines like your path in the game and one of the five endings. Like you get a bunch of questions like these. It was pretty messed up, but kind of interesting. So that was pretty neat. Catherine.
Cool.
Yeah, it was pretty nuts. So, but that's pretty much all I played besides Nintendo's games. So.
Okay, well, I'm going to hog the podcast for a little while here.
Yeah, go for it.
I played a whole lot. I played Centipede Infestation for the Wii. It's like by WayForward. That's the only reason that I stuck with it for as long as I did, yeah. Basically.
I met Matt Bozon in the Nintendo booth at one point. That was cool.
Mark cool. Bozon?
No, Matt Bozon. Not the IGN guy. His brother, yeah, the big shot.
Yeah, the way forward guy.
I talked to him about Contra 4 for a little bit.
Nice.
Yeah, anyway, that.
Yeah, Centipede Infestation is rough looking. I think before E3, I read that it was meant to be kind of a budget release. And, you know, I think that the budget of the game also shows that it's not the best looking Wii game I've ever seen. And there was also the 3DS version playable. I played with that a bit. It seemed to be easier for some reason, but it was also in a much rougher shape. Like, it's not as far along as far as I could tell. The frame rate wasn't too good. I don't think I saw as many enemies on screen at the same time as in the Wii version. And yeah, that's basically it. I can't really recommend it. You know, WayForward fanboys might want to look it up. But other than that, I don't know, bargain bin. All right, I played Rayman Origins.
Oh, you got to play that? Yeah, that looked really good. I didn't want to stay on the line, but I did want to play it.
I managed to play it because I think that like the booth guy was showing it to a French to the French press, and I speak French. So I was like, hey, I can play with you guys.
Nice.
I don't mind. But yeah, the most like gorgeous game I've seen on the show, I think. Yeah, I'm putting my foot down. I'm saying it right now. Rayman Origins was the best looking game of E3. Oh, there you go.
You're so lucky.
Even the ones I haven't seen. yeah, so it looked gorgeous. It was four players, co-op, much like Kirby, and unlike New Super Mario Brothers, like you don't bump into each other. You can attack other people, though, like kind of if you're a dick. I was really pleased with the quality of the platforming. Like, I don't know exactly how to explain this. Freaking hell. I'm not the biggest Rayman fan around. The original game... I like a lot of things, but not the biggest thing that had the sequel at E3, it seems.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, like the original Rayman, like I don't find the level design that good. Like it's kind of the enemies take forever to kill. The platforms are... The game is a dick to you. Like it's... You know, like the platforming is really hard, but also like your move set doesn't really help you out with the challenges that are in front of you. That's the best way that I can explain it, in my opinion. But in this game, like it's super smooth. You know, like you run around, controls great. Like whether you're using the D-pad or the control stick. Actually, I'm not even sure if you could use the D-pad, so I might have just lied there. But the control stick. The analog stick worked really well. I tried a swimming level, and like with a control stick, you had 360 degrees of freedom on the PS3 pad. Like it worked perfectly. There was a particular level that was like a string of bonus levels, I think. Like that were meant to be like challenge levels, and it was really, really hard. It reminded me of the temple levels in Donkey Kong Country Returns. You were like chasing this treasure chest with legs around, and like basically you can't catch it before the end of the level, but it's still pretty cool to see. And you had like this giant kind of Raiders of the Lost Ark boulder chasing you, and with spikes coming out of it.
Nice.
And sometimes like it would hit stuff and like the spikes would break, so at some point you had to like duck at the exact spot that one of the broken spikes would be, so that you know the boulder would go over you. Lots of original stuff, and yeah, like the control well, I have no complaints, and look great.
The game is Wii bound, right?
It is Wii bound, and I think the only thing that we're going to be missing is the HD, because it's not online, not on PS3, not on 360, and not on Wii, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a couch co-op, four players, and I'm definitely glad to see that someone else other than Nintendo is taking a shot at a retail 2D platformer like this.
Yeah.
Especially one that looks and plays this good. I can't wait. I think...
So wait, this has been confirmed for the Wii?
Yep.
Yeah, I must have missed that. That's
yeah,
cool.
It used to be a downloadable title for PSN and Xbox Live,
mm-hmm.
Arcade, but now it's confirmed retail for every console, and... man, I can't wait.
Oh, cool.
I also played, in the Konami booth, Dr. Lautrec. I can't remember what the full title is, but you know, like that Professor Layton clone? You know, like the character
is
really in...
Like Konami? Like
it's been... Like, it's very, very obvious that this character design is supposed to be Professor Layton inspired. Some say like clone, rehash, whatever, and like there's puzzles in the in the same way that there are in those games, but at the same time, I think that it tried enough things that were different. You know, like instead of kind of an adventure game facade where you're pointing and clicking at things to find puzzles, there were actually kind of isometric. Stealth levels. Like, I was playing as the girl. I had to avoid guards walking up and down their route, you know?
Oh.
Kind of like, you know, like the beginning of Ocarina of Time, you know, in the castle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that you don't see in Professor Layton. And also, I had, like, so I solved, like, a simple kind of crosswords-ish puzzle, and the demo ended with a boss fight, which I'm not sure exactly what was happening, what was going on. You had to use the treasure that you had found to whittle away the boss's HP. You had to place it around it on a grid, and like the different treasure had different stats, you know, different HP and different attack ratings. And different elemental effects. I had no idea what was going on. I'm pretty sure the demo was designed so that I couldn't fail it anyway. So I don't know. I can't go into depth with it. Wow, does that really wrap up? Oh, that wraps up just the Wii and the DS stuff that I played. Do we want to go on about the stuff that I played for PS3 and 360?
Does anything particularly stand out as like really promising or really big, I guess?
I played mostly the stuff that people were not lining up for.
Oh, I see.
So I, in a way, like you could think, oh well, you played the stuff no one wanted to play. But at the same time, I've also got like impressions of the stuff that
and no one has.
You know, yeah.
Wow.
So I guess I could try to go over them really quickly. I just have to find the list. Oh yeah, okay. Quickly, I played House of the Dead Overkill, the PS3 version.
Oh.
I played it on a 3D TV and with a Move. My first experience with a Move, and I did not like it wasn't really properly calibrated. I tried to recalibrate it, and it still didn't really work, so I gave up on having the cursor really aligned with my gun. But in a word...
Doesn't it use IR?
It's not, like, the Move doesn't use IR. It's the weight handles pointing is very, very different because the I wanted to go over this quick. the Move camera sees the position
the orb, yeah.
Yeah, the position of the orb, but it doesn't see where it's where you're pointing. It's calculating that based on the gyroscope data or the accelerometer data.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Like the frame rate wasn't all that great. The 3D didn't really pop out at me. I didn't think it added anything to the game. The game looked like an up-resed Wii game, kind of, which I guess it is. And the Move had at least as much cursor lag as that game has on the Wii. You know, there's a slight cursor lag. So I can't see really the advantage except for, like, trophies and pseudo-HD, I guess. And there's extra levels and stuff. I'm not enough of a fan that I'm going to rebuy this. Speaking of games that had that were from the Wii, I played No More Heroes, the PSN version. Again, I played it with the Move, and well, nothing to say. It's No More Heroes, and it didn't really look that much better than the Wii game. Again, I might rebuy it because I actually lost my Wii copy. But that's the only reason. I don't really see it as an upgrade, to be honest, from what I played. I played, I don't know if you guys have seen that in the Sony conference, but Medieval Moves, Dead Man's Quest.
Yeah, I saw that.
Another Move game. It's on Rails. It looks like, it looked better than an up-resed Wii game, but it still looked like, you know, like geometry still looked like a Wii game. And it looked to me like there was a lot of redundant attacks that you could do. You know, like you can swing a sword around, you can throw ninja stars, you can like take an arrow out of your quiver and like shoot an arrow. But I'm not sure exactly when it would be really a good time to use a sword. It seems to me like you would want to shoot everything from afar anyway. Yeah, I wasn't too impressed. We've seen Unrails game before, and it's just another one of them. I played the Pixel Junk side scroller from Q Games. You know, the same guys who made Star Fox Command and all the Pixel Junk games, and like a couple of art style games on DSiWare.
Huh. Yeah, I haven't played any of those yet, but I kind of want to.
These guys are good. They're my favorite, by far, my favorite, well, one of my two favorite DSiWare developers, along with Skip.
I really need to get into some of the DSiWare, because I just got Shantae, and it's really good. That's like the only thing I have, that and some VC games, Donkey Kong.
Oh, there's some really, really good stuff.
It's awake.
Okay. But yeah, quickly, side-scroller looks like Pixel Junk Shooter, like it's the same style. The music is from the same people, and it shows, because I think there were remixes of Pixel Junk Shooter. Other than that, I don't know exactly. I think probably people know more than I do about the game, people who followed it online, because the demo only had like two levels and a boss. And they didn't really show anything outstanding. Like, it's the same physics as Pixel Junk Shooter. You still, like, go underwater to try to recover your health. You had, like, three weapons, lasers, homing missiles, and a regular gun. And those were upgradable. And every time you upgraded, you were a little bit more powerful, or you had, like, an additional stream of fire, you know, like up or down or back or whatever. I can't say that I saw anything that really makes it unique. It's a side-scrolling shmup, you know. But it looks great. It played well. It had great music, and I'm going to buy it. I played Okabu. It's a PSN game by the Rolando guys. And it was kind of an adventure game where you're doing errands for people, and it's very physics-based. Not that much to say about it. It was co-op. It has a very cartoony style, and I don't know, check videos. See if it looks like something that you're interested in. Okabu. O-K-A-B-U. I played Ace Combat Assault Horizon. It's Ace Combat, except there's a helicopter in there now, And it seemed very, very arcadey. I'm not sure exactly if that's the vibe they were looking for, but you could basically dodge any missile coming your way when there was a prompt when you were targeted, and you press L and R at the same time, and like your helicopter just like does a barrel roll.
Oh, so like
And
more like something like Afterburner instead of like a flight sim kind of thing?
I guess so, yeah. But it was more like Afterburner, you're like on rails, right? Like that was definitely not on rails, but it does seem more arcadey, I guess, than what I'm used to. Well, than Ace Combat, than past Ace Combat games. I played Bastion, Bastion. I don't know if you guys have heard about that game. It's an XBLA 360 game, and it's really unique. You've got like the isometric overhead view. Like really cartoony art style. And the whole time that you're playing, there's this narrator telling the story of what you're doing. At some point, I fell off the screen, and he was like, and then that's when he fell to his death. No, wait, that's not how it went. And then you pop back up, you know? And like really great looking game. Look for videos. Because I can't really explain it that well, but it's one of the games that made me want to get the 360, basically. I played Splosion Man. Fans of the first Splosion Man probably know what it's about. It's a 2D side-scroller platformer, and I really, really enjoyed it. I don't know how different it is from the first game, because I haven't played that one, but I can tell that this one, you know, the controls were great. The puzzles were pretty hard. Like I had to ask for help like a couple of times.
From
But
the booth
no, it was a guy. I think it was the developer.
babes,
But
booth
no, just the developer.
hunks.
But yeah, so that's the second game that made me want to get a 360. And finally, I played. Well, why do I say finally? I'm like halfway through my list. I'm really sorry about this. But yeah, I played Trenched, which is like it's from Double Fine, whom I am a fanboy of. You know, like Tim Schafer, the whole like Grim Fandango and Psychonauts thing. It played really well. Like it's basically a tower defense game, except in first person. You've got like you're on this mech that you can move around and shoot down stuff with. But you can also, with a press of the shoulder button, airdrop a tower that's going to shoot enemies down for you. And whenever you kill enemies, you press the other shoulder button and you're going to suck in televisions, because the enemies are actually like sentient televisions, like TV has taken over the world or something. It's really, really weird. You suck them up, and that's your currency, and that's how you can manage to put more sentries to fight for you. And you can go up to them, you can press the yellow button to upgrade them. And it's like the whole campaign is co-op as well online. So that's really good. The important thing is that like I'm probably going to pay like, you know, $300 to get a 360 just to play this. I played Rock of Ages, another XBLA game, and that was really weird. Another weird tower defense game, except that, you know, like you've got the first phase, you're setting up your defenses. And anyway, like once you're done setting up your defenses, then you are in control of a boulder that you try to, you know, avoid the obstacles, like you're rolling down a hill. And you know, it's kind of a marble madness kind of thing. And also like you can jump with the button, and so you avoid like the defenses that the other player set up, and you try to roll as hard as you can. At the end of the soap, there's like this giant wooden door, and you try to smash through it. And it's probably going to take you more than one turn. So again, like the second time you set up your defenses and then you roll down again. And the first one to smash through the door and kill the leader that's inside wins. I can't say that this game really is one of the ones that made me want to get a 360, but it's still pretty original. We're nearing the end of my list, thank God. Galaga Legions, that's coming out on PSN and XBLA, and I loved it. It's kind of the same look as Pac-Man Championship Edition, except it's Galaga, and you could shoot, like, basically, like, you have these waves of enemies that are coming from every side. It's a twin-stick shooter, so you can move, you know, all the way, all over the screen, unlike the original game. And you can shoot in every direction. And basically, you can shoot through... if you can shoot through the wave of enemy to shoot at the core enemy, you're going to wipe out that whole wave. So that's basically what you should be doing.
Now, I can't figure out how come some of these don't come out on the Wii, because on WiiWare... Is it a space limitation,
guess,
maybe, or?
Yeah, like, I'm guessing that, you know, with the music and the graphics and everything, perhaps it's just too much. You know, like, Geometry Wars came on disc on the Wii. It was a much bigger version, of course. Like, it had more content. Yeah. But, yeah, the 40 meg limit on WiiWare robs us of a lot of these games, I think. But, yeah, it was great. It played great, and I can't wait to play more. And... I played Shinobi 3DS, and I was really satisfied with that, actually. People look at screenshots, and, like, it does look rough. It does look like maybe it started off as a DS game. But I liked the feel of the combat. Basically, you have to time when you're blocking with the attacks, and then immediately you retaliate, you know? And, like, that felt really good, you know? Like, and every time you get hit... Not only you lose health, but you lose points. So it's kind of like, you know, like you see like a red, like 2,000 popping out of your character. But like every time you can successfully counter an attack, you get tons more points. I don't know. Like in 3D, it looked nice enough. And the action, I think, is going to be pretty satisfying. It's a side-scrolling game on the 3DS, which is weird. But, I don't know, it played well, so I don't really have any complaints.
Just a strictly 2D or like 2.5D?
Well, 2.5D. I mean, they're polygons, right? No, like you're on one plane. You can't move up or down, you know. I mean, to the back or foreground. Yeah. It's a strictly 2D movement. And that wraps it up. Wow, I haven't timed myself, but yeah, I'm sorry about that.
It's a lot of impressions of games that don't have many impressions.
Yeah, I guess so. But what's too bad is that everyone stopped listening half an hour ago. Okay, well, I don't know how we're supposed to conclude this episode. We pretty much went making it up as we went along, but... yeah, do you guys have any final impressions? Anything to say about this particular E3?
I liked it. It was fun. And I'll try it again next year. The one thing I kind of wish Nintendo would do, like, I like what they showed, but I wish there were more more reveals. The only game they actually revealed from, you know, internally was Luigi's Mansion 2. Like, that was the only game that was new.
Yeah.
Everything else we had heard of, even, you know, Super Mario 3DS and, like, Mario Kart 3DS, these are games that we've had some media on and had heard of. And I was kind of hoping for a couple new surprises. But...
Right.
I mean, but what they showed, though, you know, it was kind of the first reveal for a lot of games besides, like, a very brief snippet. Like, Mario Kart we finally got, you know, to look at, and Mario 3DS, and Kirby Wii, you know, was playable, and Rhythm Heaven, so... It was a good show overall, at least from a Nintendo fan's perspective, I'd say.
Cool. What about you, Carlos?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that. I thought I was a little disappointed in the showing itself, but I'm not disappointed in the Wii U at all. I think it has unlimited potential, and it could be maybe the PS2 of the next generation.
Sweet. Yeah, no, like this was my first E3, going to E3. Perhaps the last, because I got lucky this time, but I might not ever again. Basically, the feel of being there was awesome. I, You know, like I came out of there and I was just like, man, I got to switch jobs. I got to get into games development.
Oh,
I
yeah.
got to come back here, you know, year after year. Maybe that's going to not happen, though. But I really enjoyed the opportunity. It was really amazing to see, I don't know, like not just like the new games that are, you know, playing games before everyone else, but just like you could go to the Disney booth and like they had Disney artists that could draw your caricature or draw a personalized Mickey Mouse for you, you know. Of course, like the line was really, really long, so I didn't get to, you know, use that, unfortunately. But there was also like a retro booth or, you know, like a corner where you could play, like they had like old systems on display. I got to play the original arcade Asteroids.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, and you know, like the type of screen is completely different from a regular TV. So like it looks really, really sharp and really bright, and like there's you can't replicate that experience in any emulator. You know, like the screen is just too different.
Yeah.
So that was cool to see in person. I finally got to play like a Sega Saturn. Not only that, but I played Panzer Dragoon, which I always thought looked really fun and cool, and I played that for 40 minutes. I'm really glad for that opportunity. And I played the arcade version of Punch-Out.
Oh,
which
really?
I got massacred.
I missed a lot of this stuff. I would have wanted to play Punch-Out.
It was on the other convention hall. Like it was in the south one where Microsoft and Microsoft stuff was.
Yeah.
So
I went there, but I didn't see that. That's a shame because I definitely wanted to play that.
Yeah, so that was fun. Again, I'm glad for the opportunity. Apparently, Nintendo is not interested in putting their arcade games on the virtual console, so...
Yeah.
Whatever.
Oh.
But yeah, so great E3. Lots of fun games, and I don't know. Like, I thought it was amazing, and I'm looking forward to so many more 3DS games than I used to.
Yeah, a lot of good
before
stuff
I went
this year.
And yeah, still some Wii games that I'm looking forward to, and I can't wait to see what they do with the Wii U.
Yep.
All right.
It up.
Yeah. Finally.
So, what was your favorite game of E3?
I've already said that was a sham, right? But well,
that was a sham. Yeah, that's true. You did.
I guess on 3DS.
You must
wait,
pick one.
Resident Evil, surprisingly.
Really? Interesting.
You know, it was really fun. Good, convincing demo.
Yeah, can't argue there.
Yeah, and on the Wii, same thing. Skyward Sword. I was not looking forward that much to it, and all of a sudden, I can't wait. And outside of the Nintendo stuff, I guess I have to say
Rayman.
The pure visual and gameplay excellence. Ah, that sounds bad. I'm sorry. But yeah, looking forward to Rayman.
Yeah, I love 2D platformers. So I'm looking forward to that too. That and Kirby. Kirby!
Yeah, with Rayman and Kirby coming this year, like that, again, it's a repeat of 2010. We're getting like back-to-back two amazing side-scrollers. At retail.
Some 2D
love. And I couldn't be happier about that. All right. So let's do wrap it up. Thank you, Matt, and thank you, Carlos.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, no problem.
As usual, I couldn't be doing this if I didn't have people to be doing this with. Although the last half hour of this podcast kind of proves that maybe I could.
Don't underestimate yourself.
So don't forget to you can follow us on Twitter on -_world and please you know join us on the forums negativeworld.org. We're really nice people, I believe, and we like talking about video games and Nintendo. And Carlos is laughing because we just banned two jerks last night.
Exactly, and, you got it. No dapper dicks.
Wait, I missed this. What is this?
Yeah, well, you know, we got That's rid of amazing. People that didn't really fit in. But if you like Nintendo, and if you're not a jerk, you just might fit in the world, and we're not going to ban you, I promise. Just don't make blanket statements about the Nintendo fans, and don't be annoying. I mean, don't be a jerk. Yeah. Come on, how hard is that?
Don't do it. Don't do it.
And also, please rate us on iTunes. The more people rate us, the more chance we have of popping up as a suggestion for people, and the more listeners we can get. And getting more listeners improves my self-esteem. So,
and then we can rule the Lylat system.
Sure. And that's basically it. I hope you enjoyed. And
see you around the boards. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Was the grab in the demo, the picking up the other player and throwing them?
Yeah, it worked the same way as it does in the game.
Oh, but it was also mapped to the shoulder button, or
that was. Let me see. You hold one and shake it. So yeah, you basically hold whatever the run button was on the Wii U. I don't remember if it was Y or B, but and then you press the shoulder button. If I'm remembering right.
Okay.
Because I definitely picked up a few guys. Could not resist.
Well, out of context, I'm going to use that as an opener.
Yeah, and on you got that sound file just kind of sitting there now, huh?
Make a remix, put it on YouTube.
Definitely picked up a few guys. Definitely picked up a few guys.
And I'm going to stop recording right now because, good Lord.